speak, I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. This is Liz Brown. Interesting. You know, I just gotta observe. There's a saying in the community of African descent. Somebody fronts you. Somebody come up to you and say provocative things to you. So provocative that you should respond. And if you don't respond, that makes you a chump. A wuss. They put you on Front Street. And it's up to you to come back. Well, Boy George has been fronted. And by none other than the president of Iran. President of Iran said, I want you to go on the television and debate with me about this nuclear issue, whether or not we should have nuclear energy or not. Go on American TV with me and debate me. Shoot. He said, but the condition of the debate is that there can be no censorship, especially for the American nation. Ouch. He said, the guy that this country, this administration is calling the axis of evil, has said, I'll bring my case to the American people. I ain't scared. The only condition that I ask for is that you don't cheat. Ouch. Ouch. Talk about your PR. What's the Karl Rove response to this? Not very good, I must say. The White House called the offer to debate Bush a diversion. That's all you got? That's all you got? That's all you got? A diversion? Huh. He said, I'll debate you in front of everybody you know, including your mama and your daddy and your brothers and your sisters. I'll debate you. The only condition is that you don't cheat like you always do. He's been fronted. He's been fronted. Come on, Americans, raise the flag and say, what's the word? What's the phrase? What's the phrase, Howard? Bring it on. I'm listening. I'm not hearing. Bring it on. I'll be back. Stay with me.
In the beginning, there were but a few that gave birth to a new fad in music called rock and roll. They were referred to as the Legends of Rock. And now Goldie's Music has compiled the greatest hits of three of these legends: Jerry Lee Lewis, Little Richard, Chuck Berry.
Well, I'm gonna write a little letter, I'm gonna mail it to my local DJ. You broke my will, but what a thrill. God, it's great, this is great. Balls of fire.
This 3-CD package is not available in stores, so call toll-free right now and order your very own copy of The Legends of Rock. Call 1-800-577-3995. That's 1-800-577-3995. 1-800-577-3995.
This is Head Thumping Talk Radio on WGNU.
I like Reverend Al Sharpe.
Well, he entertains me, but in the same way a juggling clown does. Like I said, one of the most dangerous places in the world to be is not in Beirut. It's not in Iraq or in Baghdad. It's between Al Sharpton and the camera.
Al Sharpton gets PR anytime or anywhere he wants to. He can go on some network and scream about George Bush. I don't see the need for this.
Maybe making balloon animals for the children just wasn't getting the attention.
Brett Rosen, Thursday mornings at 10 a.m. on WGNU.
Hi, Mr. and Mrs. Klimchak.
We'll take two peanut brittles. Raising money for school?
No, picking on your kid at school.
What? Our Henry?
I'm the class bully.
Well, forget the peanut brittle.
Look, I'm not going to pull any punches. Get it? But every day, I start fights with your kid on the playground.
But you...
I take his lunch money.
Honey, what do we do?
What do we do?
Hey, I've got some answers.
It's McGruff, the crime dog.
Bullies don't just walk up and introduce themselves. When kids worry about bullying, you have to read the clues. They may not want to go to school. Their grades may drop.
Our Henry hasn't mentioned a bully.
That's another thing. Kids don't want to talk about it.
I don't mean to twist your arm. Sorry. But you might want to get involved.
Well...
Oops, late for lunch. Found a trip a kid with his tray.
How do you stop bullies? Well, with words to your kids, school administrators, other concerned parents, and by going to McGruff.org.
A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, Crime Prevention Coalition of America, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
The Illinois Department of Transportation thanks you for making the Orange Ribbon Campaign an increasing success. Worker injuries in construction areas went down last year. Now the bad news. Vehicle injuries went up. Now, here's your safety reminder. Even when workers aren't present, you still need to slow down. Construction areas are dangerous for all drivers all the time. For your own sake, obey posted speed limits. Photo enforcement vans are now in use. Break the law and you will be fined. Keep everyone alive. Drive 45. A message from the Illinois Department of Transportation.
Another of those You Won't Want to Miss It programs coming up Wednesday on the Wake Up Call. Retired General Robert Gard is a senior fellow at the Center for Arms Control. He's no fan of the idea the Bush administration is throwing around about attacking Iran. He's also examined many of the ramifications of Iran's decision to continue with its nuclear program despite the threat of sanctions by the U.S. and U.N. Is more conflict imminent, or is there a way around this issue without bloodshed? Some cogent insights coming up Wednesday morning at 9 with Lieutenant General Robert Gard on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Everything will be all right.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. Don't let go of my hand. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up and you need to get to me. Boy George has been fronted. He also, the president of Iran, also said that the special concessions granted to the United States and Britain, that is the... There's no, that's the root cause of all the evil in the world. All of the evil in the world. He said, I will take my position to your people. You can come to my people too. You can come to my people too. You talk your stuff, I'll talk my stuff, and let it begin. Let the chips fall where they may. You imagine? Can you imagine Boy George in an open debate? No strings attached. And in all fairness to the president of Iran, he forgot a couple of concessions. He should have said, no earpieces. No little special backpacks that's supplying your answers. Or maybe he said, you know, go ahead, bring that stuff. The stock will help you. Bring that stuff. I ain't scared. He said, debate me in front of yo people. I'll come to your house. The house always has the advantage, right? He said, the president of Iran said, I'll come to your house, Boy George. I'll debate you on the issue of whether I should have nuclear weapons or not. I'll debate you in your house. The only condition is that you can't lie. No censorship. No censorship. Ain't that... Car phone.
Hey, good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
You know, this John Carr, I think it's the guy that was accused of killing JonBenet.
No, the guy that kind of sort of confessed to sort of kind of maybe being around there around the time that she was killed and got the most expensive DNA testing in the entire world. DNA with caviar and champagne.
I listened to her her press conference, the prosecutor's press conference yesterday, and I noticed early on your show last week there was a question raised about the Homeland Security being involved in this whole debacle. And she said it. She said that she was constantly in contact with Homeland Security, the Justice Department, and the State Department.
And what is your conspiratorial point?
Well, obviously, one of the her deputy prosecutor let it out of the bag and said that there was a leak, and he felt the leak came from the State Department, Homeland Security,
mm-hmm.
between the three of them, and obviously it was done to just basically get George Bush off the front page and Israel. Actually, really, it was about Israel.
It was about knocking Israel, Lebanon, and Iraq. Come on. And Iraq, too.
And
because Israel was also knocking Iraq off the pages, but it wasn't knocking them off the way that they had planned on it, knocking them off. That hadn't worked out.
The whole debacle with Israel, it just backfired.
Yes, it did.
Their own people.
Yes, they are.
What the heck happened? You know,
Not only...
We got soldiers missing. And you got all this, you know, these guys can steal launch rockets at us.
And here's the other piece. It's not only that it's made their people unhappy. Their people are furious at their leadership. They're asking for the prime minister to step down. They're asking for an independent investigation that involves a judge that would allow the judge to decide that people go to jail as a result of what happened in that attack on Lebanon. That's how bad it is in Israel as a result of this. So everybody, you know, you need a little JonBenet. Come on, a little blonde girl that's been dead for 10 years. Come on.
I mean, and then when you look at the evidence that they had, which was absolutely none, and this has the Bush administration hands all over it.
Yes, it does.
Evidence, lies, deception.
And one more, what's the last thing that they had to prove that it has Boy George's fingerprints on it? They got it wrong. and they got it wrong.
And everybody looking, even the prosecutor, which I thought was fascinating, she said that if she has two more years to go, and then she's out of here. She said, well, if I don't resign within that time, which she knows her job is over with. And she'll probably wind up on George Bush's payroll somewhere in the back office.
She did her job, right?
She did her job. She did it well.
And no, she didn't do it well. But no, that's what.
How you look at it.
No. We got to keep it straight now. If you do your job and you mess up, that's when you get a promotion under Boy George.
That's right.
Okay. So she did her job lousy. So she should be the head of sub department come spring.
That's funny. It's not funny, but it is funny.
That tell it. All right now. Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. You're on the wake-up call.
Well, good morning, Ms. Brown. How are you this beautiful day?
I'm outstanding.
I want to ask you a question on this John Renee flip-flop confession of this guy. When the news broke, you said that it was a lie.
That's right.
They didn't have... What is it that you have? You was never a prosecutor. You were just a lawyer, right?
I was a defense attorney. Mm-hmm.
What is it that you got that these paid people... Now, if you look at that woman, she looked like she'd been wrestling with cases for 40 years, if you look at her. She really don't even look like a good prosecutor. She's like she'd been drugged through the hack.
Well, I can't imagine. I can't imagine she's been sleeping any of the last 2 weeks. I can't imagine she's been sleeping well.
They run to grab this guy with no evidence. They run him back into the news media. They jumps on board with a lot of craziness. But mostly the black neighborhood knew it was a lie in the first place. Now, they never learned nothing about the runaway bride. You know what I'm saying?
But I think that you're attaching something to it that you shouldn't be attaching to. The fact of the matter is, this wasn't about being accurate. This wasn't about solving a crime. This wasn't about either one of those things. What this was about was a PR attempt to move the attention of America to more familiar places, sex, drugs, and murder. So that's what it was an attempt to do. What happened because this is Boy George's administration's effort, it failed. It failed miserably. There you go.
You know what? If I had been the mayor down there in the Louisiana, in this Katrina when Bush showed up the other day, I would have did Bush the same way he do protesters. I would have said, well, if I get around, I'm busy, I got a busy schedule. If I get around to seeing you, I will see you, but if I don't, I won't.
Thanks for your call. We're going to take a break, folks. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Come on. Come on with it. We'll be back.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Deals Stores. Both the Compton and Market Street bridges over 40 are scheduled to be reopened later this morning following a ribbon-cutting ceremony at 10:30. Westbound 70 into the press section, there's an accident. The right lane is blocked. Use caution as you roll up to those areas. Westbound 270 at 367 and New Florissant, look for no problems to report. Northbound 270 is building on either side of 44. Eastbound 70 at 79, look for traffic to be building this hour. Eastbound 40 at Mason and 270, look for heavy volume going on. Northbound 55 at Butler Hill and 270, you got heavy volume and all your approaches into the Poplar Street Bridge. As well as downtown, you can expect no delays at this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Deals Stores. There's a new Deals in town with brand new look. They still have great $1 deals plus big deals that are so too good to pass up. They're passing them on to you. So come on in for the grand reopening celebration September the 1st. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. For today, mostly cloudy. Isolated showers this afternoon are possible with a high in the upper 70s. This evening, mostly cloudy. In the evening, partly cloudy overnight with a low in the lower 60s. Thursday, partly sunny with a high around 80. And Friday, partly sunny with a high around 80 as well. Currently, we have 61 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 62. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the top of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
Where else are you going to get your washers, your dryers, your refrigerators, your stoves, everything that you need, everything that you want, everything that you got to have? Get on down to Sears at Union and Natural Bridge, black-owned and black-operated, the only Sears in the city of St. Louis. Get to Sears, and get your washers, your dryers, your refrigerators, your stoves, your tools, everything that you need. And when you get there, tell him I told you to.
This is Shara Daylin. Join me for Women Inspiring Women every Wednesday afternoon on AM 920 WGNU. I'll be bringing my power tools, that is, power tools for women. Each week, I'll discuss who, what, when, where, and how to make it happen in your personal and professional life. So remember, join me, Shara Daylin, every Wednesday from 1 to 2 p.m. as part of Women Inspiring Women on AM 920 WGNU.
What is hospice care? You see, families turn to hospice care when facing the terminal illness of a loved one. The Point of Change Hospice provides an environment in which families can cope with the transition of their loved one in the supportive, loving, and comfortable setting of their own home. Through pain management, emotional counseling and support, and compassionate health care, the Point of Change Hospice treats the patient as a whole person facing end-of-life issues. Founded in 2001, the Point of Change Hospice provides physical, emotional, practical, and spiritual care for adults and children in the last phases of terminal illness. Skilled hospice nursing, medical social services, home health aides, homemakers, occupational therapy, physical therapy, chaplain and counseling services, bereavement follow-up, physician-ordered services, and the Point of Change Hospice accepts Medicare, Medicaid, and private health insurance. You don't pay a dime. The Point of Change Hospice, please give them a call. Our counselors are waiting to talk to you. 535-4500, that's 535-4500. Point of Change Hospice. Caring for families, caring for our community, and caring for you.
Another of those You Won't Want to Miss It programs coming up Wednesday on the Wake Up Call. Retired General Robert Gard is a senior fellow at the Center for Arms Control. He's no fan of the idea the Bush administration is throwing around about attacking Iran. He's also examined many of the ramifications of Iran's decision to continue with its nuclear program despite the threat of sanctions by the U.S. and U.N. Is more conflict imminent, or is there a way around this issue without bloodshed? Some cogent insights coming up Wednesday morning at 9 with Lieutenant General Robert Gard on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Brother, I love you, and I'll never try to hurt you. I want you to know that I'm
here for you forever true, cause you're my black brother, strong brother, and there is no one above you. I want you to know that.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. Get up, get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Good morning.
Yes, Barbara, good morning.
How are you, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
I'm really getting kind of sick and tired of this programming of the Bush administration because now the weak man out there with the the children being married to old men just got caught when JonBenet's killer got off the Richter scale. I mean, can't they get a little bit more creative?
Well, you know...
Sex.
Their formula is, you know, we'll distract people with sex, drugs, and violence.
God, I mean, it's just repetitive. Did you see the president's speech yesterday?
Which president are we talking about?
George Bush.
Oh, Boy George? No, I did not see Boy George. What did he say?
Well, what he said was he gave all this, he's going to help, and, you know, the regular spiel. But when he got through speaking, if you get a chance, look at it. He just looked like a kid that just passed the spelling bee by the hair of his tail and let me get the heck out of here. His face just told everything that he had got up there and did what he was supposed to do, and he was disgusted and let me get out of here.
Well, you know, I can't imagine that things have not been going well for Boy George lately. They really haven't. When you have the president of Iran challenging you to a debate on American TV about whether or not Iran should be allowed to pursue their nuclear ambitions, that's embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have your approval ratings in the toilet, that's embarrassing.
That is.
And everything that you touch turns to dust. That's got to be embarrassing.
Right. I thought I saw a website. My computer's down because I'm waiting for my battery, but there's a website called Camp Democracy with about 140 groups that have come together. The women's, what is it?
Code Pink.
Huh?
Code Pink.
Code Pink, mm-hmm. The gay, and everybody's in there, and they've got a thing online where people can sign up. I thought maybe if you hadn't checked it out, it might be interesting. You could bring us something from there.
Gotcha. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
And don't forget, folks, on Saturday, we have a wonderful, wonderful morning plan for you at the International Urban Institute. We have a wonderful morning plan for you. We're going to be showing the When the Levees Broke. Now, it's a story in four different tales of what happened when the levees broke. It's a Spike Lee movie. It was shown on HBO. I know everybody doesn't have HBO, and everybody doesn't have the opportunity to watch something like this and then have a wonderful discussion with it, after it, during it. We're going to show that When the Levees Broke in four parts this Saturday, starting at 7 a.m. to 11 a.m. The address is 1020 North Taylor. That's 1020 North Taylor. Come on down. We'll have a nice little breakfast there for you, something for you to nosh upon. Also, we'll have copies of Loose Change for you, and we'll also have some fun T-shirts there for you, too, as well. So come on down on Saturday morning. Watch this Spike Lee piece because, again, it's the year anniversary of Katrina. People are still suffering in profound American ways. I know many of you love this too. I love being able to watch a provocative piece and then being able to talk about it. And then being able to let it sink even further into you. So come on out on Saturday. That's this coming Saturday from 7 a.m. to 11 a.m. And watch When the Levees Broke in four different stories that are told. So it's okay if you don't miss the first hour. Come on in at the second hour because it's a different story. And then the third hour is a different story. And then the fourth hour is a different story as well. They're all four different conversations about what happened when the levee broke by Spike Lee. It's an incredible, powerful, moving, and inspiring documentary this Saturday from 7 a.m. to 11 a.m. at the International Urban Institute. The address is 1020 North Taylor, 1020 North Taylor. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. It hasn't been a good day at all. Hasn't been a good week. Hasn't been a good month. Hasn't been some good polling times. The polling times for Boy George, it ain't good. It ain't good. There was a person that went to New Orleans a man who posed as a HUD official, the housing department official. And he stood on the stairs and he said, he gave a 15-minute speech saying, our charter here at HUD is to ensure access to affordable housing for those who need it most. In this past year in New Orleans, I'm ashamed to say that we have clearly failed to do this. He said that the government was reversing its course and reopening public housing projects. It had slated for demolition. And, sounds wonderful, doesn't it? This man was on the stage with Louisiana Governor Kathleen Blanco and Mayor Ray Nagin, saying that HUD had changed his mind and was not going to demolish these housing. Wasn't going to demolish housing because our charter is to ensure access to affordable housing for those who need it most. Problem is, the guy was a fake. The guy was a fake. And because this guy made this statement, he forced HUD to have to issue this statement. The Department of Housing and Urban Development is moving forward with this plan to tear down these houses. I'm going to tell you some more about who this guy is and what his group is all about. Stay with me. Peter.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was calling regarding the Iranian president's challenge.
Yeah.
To debate. I remember Saddam Hussein had put forth the same challenge on the build-up to the Iraq War.
Did he really? I don't remember that.
Yeah, he did. He had put forth he wanted an international debate, and he challenged George Bush. And at that time, after watching him debate, Gore, and knowing what he's, I was a little embarrassed because I was like, he'd probably lose that debate, and I think he'd be on worse against this one because the Iranian president is a very intelligent man. And,
well, he has many degrees, and none of them were paid for by his parents. They were not a result of a legacy. He wasn't a cheerleader. He didn't have a cocaine problem. He hasn't had an alcohol problem. He has been, he's been presiding over a country that provides a whole lot of challenges.
Yeah, he's got his stuff together. He's always writing and he's engaging. I think diplomatically, he's actually doing much better than our president is.
How embarrassing is that?
I mean, well, it's kind of to be expected, though. After a while, you start to get used to what they're doing. I mean, when you said that Rove said his attempt to debate him was a diversion, it's crazy because to suggest debating them on the nuclear issue is a diversion.
Wow.
The nuclear issue.
Wow. Is a diversion.
I
That's deep. That's deep. You are so right, Peter. That is deep. It's a diversion to have a discussion from the heads of both of these countries. That you're right. That's deep.
Yeah.
That's deep.
And they have done this on so many. I mean, you get sick of it after a while, but you see certain things in the media, like when Fox puts out little feeler reports about nuclear weapons or weapons of mass destruction that were found. It never catches on, and then all of a sudden they kind of go to the side. You know, these little bitty tidbit stories that go out there that try and get our distraction off. And to watch the president in his press meeting the other day, it was like a man who was trying so hard to turn back the tide that it's overwhelming. The Democratic power that they can utilize.
I got to roll. Peter, I've got to roll.
Okay.
Thanks for your call. We're going to take a break. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline Washington. Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist has said he may not have met all the requirements necessary to keep his medical license in force. His home state of Tennessee requires all licensed doctors to complete 40 hours of continuing education every 2 years. Frist, a heart-lung surgeon, turned in his renewal with the state earlier this year, saying he had completed his 40 hours. But repeated requests by reporters to verify that led him yesterday to say he may not have done his continuing education after all,
and he was going to have to contact the Tennessee board to see what he could do about it. Frist is retiring from the Senate after this year and is likely to consider a run for the presidency. He has no medical practice right now, but often refers to his experience as a doctor. And he even has the letters MD on his Senate office door after his name. And Dateline San Francisco. The Coast Guard has been giving commercial shipping companies advance notice about security searches that are supposed to be a surprise. This has caused a division within the Coast Guard itself. One train of thought is that advance notices help shipping companies avoid costly and unnecessary delays. But the other side is that it also compromises security. Surprise boardings at sea can cost shippers as much as $40,000 an hour. Searches include examining crew and cargo manifests against those filed with ports. IDs of crew members are also checked. Sometimes cargo gets inspected with dogs or radiation detectors. All of this can take as little as 30 minutes or as much as 12 hours. Since July of 2005, the Coast Guard has boarded over 16,000 vessels and found numerous violations, most of them having to do with safety or crew issues. In a number of cases, ships were prevented from anchoring in an American port until the problems were rectified. The Coast Guard is struggling to take its place as a national security provider because it only has a force the size of the New York City Police Department to guard all of the American coastlines. This is your wake-up call global news update. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
Harbor Racing School, where the only tire brand you'll find is BF Goodrich tires. BF Goodrich G-Force tires are the fastest street tires in sport compact history. The number one street tire for 2 years in a row. They're the world's hottest street tires. BF Goodrich tires, now featured at Auto Tire, the Tire Pros.
Visit any Auto Tire, the Tire Pros, from August 7th to September 3rd. Receive an instant $50 off custom wheels, accessories, warranties, and services when you buy four new BF Goodrich G-Force tires. See store for details.
BF Goodrich tires. Take control!
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers. And we at Connect Care want you to know that sometimes change can be good. Connect Care, still connected to the community. Connect Care is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of Connect Care's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At Connect Care, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At Connect Care, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
Is hospice care? Well, you see, families, they turn to hospice care when facing the terminal illness of a loved one. The Point of Change Hospice provides an environment in which families can cope with the transition of their loved one in the supportive, loving, and comfortable setting of the home. Through pain management, emotional counseling and support, and compassionate health care, the Point of Change Hospice treats the patient as a whole person facing end-of-life issues. The Point of Change provides physical, emotional, practical, and most importantly, spiritual care for adults and children in the last phases of a terminal illness. Their program emphasizes skilled hospice nursing, medical social services, occupational therapy, physical therapy, chaplain and counseling services, bereavement follow-up, physician-ordered services, medical equipment, medical supplies, medication for pain management, relief, and comfort. Point of Change accepts Medicare, Medicaid, and private health insurance. You don't pay a dime. Please give them a call at 535-4500. One of their counselors is waiting to hold your hand through this process. 535-4500. 4500, the Point of Change Hospice, caring for families, caring for our community, and caring for you.
Another of those You Won't Want to Miss It programs coming up Wednesday on the Wake Up Call. Retired General Robert Gard is a senior fellow at the Center for Arms Control. He's no fan of the idea the Bush administration is throwing around about attacking Iran. He's also examined many of the ramifications of Iran's decision to continue with its nuclear program, despite the threat of sanctions by the U.S. and U.N. Is more conflict imminent, or is there a way around this issue without bloodshed? Some cogent insights coming up Wednesday morning at 9 with Lieutenant General Robert Gard on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up. Get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Yes, Liz, I just want to remind people in that 94 debacle for the Democrats, on that day, not one Republican incumbent for the U.S. House, U.S. Senate, or governor lost. And we seem, the press is implying, we are on the edge of a Democratic 94. It's only 69 days away. And in my opinion, it's the most important election of our lifetime. Thank you very much.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You're being played. You are being played. And you're being played out on the front pages of newspapers. You're being played, super played, really played, really, really, really played. On the front page of USA Today. Are you ready for this? Front page. Gasoline prices could keep falling. It'll be closer to $2 than $3 by Thanksgiving. No, it won't. By Thanksgiving, prices will be back up to $3 a gallon because Thanksgiving is after the elections. No, they won't. What is happening right here is that apparently $3 a gallon is the number, the magic number that makes Americans actually feel the pain of gas prices. People, Americans started making decisions about things based upon the price of gasoline. At the $3 level, nobody that is running for re-election as a Republican can stand for Americans to be angry at them for gasoline prices. This is the taking away of a campaign issue. How do I know that? How do I know that? I know that because it is illogical to think otherwise. Why? We're in the middle of a hurricane season. One, gas prices always go up in the middle of a hurricane season. Secondly, Howard, isn't this a Labor Day weekend holiday coming up? I mean, isn't this a holiday coming up? When in the last time that in your gasoline memory, your gasoline price memory, have gas prices fallen before a heavily traveled day. Oh, they're going to be using this. They're going to be using this. Gasoline prices are down. Before a holiday where people get in their cars and go places? Nonsense. Never in the history of gasoline price watching has that happened. We are being played. What are they saying? Fred Rozelle, a gasoline analyst at the Oil Price Information Service, the only place gasoline prices have to go is down. Kiss my grits. Why? 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 The average price for the average price for a gallon of regular gas peaked at $3.36 a gallon. They said that prices will jump again next spring. What are the reasons behind the drop? The end of summer, driving slows, reducing the demand for gasoline. Shut up. Shut up. And now they're saying that federal requirements for clean air, summer blend gasoline in next month, making gasoline cheaper to refine and import. Sluggish demand. Gasoline use in the first 8 months of the year is up 1% versus a year ago when it was up 1.5%. Nonsense. Tell me why diesel prices are more expensive than gas prices. Diesel is still at $3.07 a gallon. How could that be? How could diesel prices, that's cheaper to produce, why are diesel prices higher than gasoline? Oh, they're shifting the cost. They're playing us. They're playing us. And this is all about election time prices. Election time prices. And the skittishness of the American psyche. You're being played. Next hour, St. Louis Public Schools Watch with Peter Downs. I'm Liz Brown. Don't forget, on Saturday at the International Urban Institute, we are going to be showing, Irene J. Smith and myself, we're going to be showing Spike Lee's movie, documentary on Katrina. It's the year anniversary. It's a perfect time for it. When the levees fell in four parts. We're going to be starting at 7 a.m. to 11 a.m. 7 a.m. A new change in time. 7 a.m. to 11 a.m. The address is 1020 North Taylor. We're going to have a little food there. We're going to have an opportunity to talk about this. It's a wonderful opportunity. Again, the documentary is in four pieces. So if you come in the second hour, you'll see a different thing. If you come in the third hour, you'll see something different. Come on down. 4 hours worth of discussion and powerful, powerful information. That's what we do at the International Urban Institute. My name is Liz Brown. I'll be back in the next hour with Peter Downs, St. Louis Public Schools Watch. Stay with us.
The progress is healing the wound.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemy demands tyranny, poverty.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger.
Oh, it sounds a lot worse than it was. Winds only kicked up a little bit when Tropical Storm Ernesto washed ashore on the Florida coast. The problem is rain, but not much else. ABC's Jim Weider on Singer Island.
The primary concern now for South Florida emergency managers will be the possibility of flooding as Ernesto moves northward towards Georgia and the Carolinas. It's going to leave behind a pretty impressive calling card with up to 10 inches of rain in the immediate forecast.
Where will Ernesto go now?
Ernesto is currently a very sprawling storm that's dumping rain on most of the Florida Peninsula this morning, so you can envision that once it gets up into the mid-Atlantic states that it could be affecting many, many areas for several hours.
The National Hurricane Center's Richard Knapp. Now, the storm out west, that's a lot stronger. Hurricane John is a strong Category 3 storm, winds up to 115 miles an hour. It's churning off Mexico's west coast, but is it a threat to the U.S.?
It's going to remain far enough south that any impact to the United States is not likely at all.
That's meteorologist Dan Mundell with the National Hurricane Center. It's been a year since Hurricane Katrina slammed the Gulf Coast and made a lot of changes in the lives and the landscape of people who live there. President Bush wants to make sure the region is prepared for the next one. And he says that he wants to make sure that the federal rebuilding effort continues. He says that he wants to make sure that the levees are built. He says the government will continue to work with its partners in Mississippi and in Louisiana along the Gulf Coast, but some still say that that rebuilding effort is proceeding much too slowly. Police say more than 50 people are dead following bombings and other attacks across Iraq. Bombs targeted a market and army recruiting center and a police patrol. At least 24 people were killed when a roadside bomb went off at Baghdad's largest and oldest wholesale market. Series of hearings today in California for seven Marines and a Navy corpsman charged with murdering an Iraqi man in the town of Hamadiya. Five troops are accused of shooting the man after taking him home. This is ABC News.
Can you guess what that sound is? Let me help you out. It's a jail cell door getting slammed shut after you've been booked for DUI. Don't think you'll get caught? Think again. Officers are cracking down from coast to coast this month. So listen up. If you drive impaired, you will pay. Drunk. Driving over the limit, under arrest, paid for by the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Madden here to tell you about Ace Hardware's Labor Day sale going on this weekend only, September 1st through the 4th, at participating Ace stores. Get a $5 rebate on every gallon of Ace Royal paint you buy, limit 10 gallons. And don't forget paint supplies like a four-piece paintbrush set priced at $2.99 or a three-pack of Ace paint rollers for $3.99. Both are free after rebate. Ace, the helpful place. Quantities limited. Available at participating stores.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware for.
Do you think racial profiling is okay when it comes to fighting the war on terror?
Most Americans believe we're in store for another major terrorist attack and think it will happen within the next few months. This according to a Quinnipiac University poll. And 60% of those asked said transportation officials should single out people who look Middle Eastern. The communications director for the Council on American Islamic Relations says it's an unfortunate byproduct of fear and hysteria. A federal air marshal recently told ABC News terror attacks are routinely carried out by young Middle Eastern men, so it makes sense to single them out at airports as opposed to, say, elderly white women. Brad Wheatless, ABC News.
The survey of just over 1,000 people has a 3-point margin of error. Walmart's new ad campaign sells what the company does for its employees and for the communities where it has stores. The discount giant's been criticized for treating workers poorly and running mom-and-pop shops out of business. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
This WGNU News report is brought to you by State Farm Insurance. I'm Peyton Colston. In the news, the St. Louis Zoo's baby Asian elephant is nameless no longer. Zoo officials announced yesterday the female calf will be named Malia, which means strong and beautiful. That was the top choice among five possible names voted on by the public. Malia was born to 34-year-old Ellie just after midnight August 2nd. Her father is Raja, the first Asian elephant ever born at the St. Louis Zoo. A stretch of I-55 in South County will be named for a St. Louis County police officer. Governor Matt Blunt will sign a bill today designating I-55 between Butler Hill and Merrimack Bottom as the Thomas G. Smith Jr. Memorial Highway. On December 5, 1997, Officer Smith and another motorist were struck and killed as they stood on the shoulder at the scene of a car accident. And finally, a traveling photo exhibit aimed at reducing underage drinking and driving is on a 10-city tour. After the crash is a 6-foot display depicting those impacted by teen drinking and driving. After the crash kicked off its tour yesterday in Detroit, it comes to St. Louis Mills from October 13th through 15th. And that's WGNU News, brought to you by State Farm Insurance. Switch to State Farm and get your great driving record to help you get great discounts. Talk to Agent Kevin Weber in Kirkwood today and get your reward here and now. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. I'm Peyton Colston, reporting WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic. And whether this hour's traffic is sponsored by Deal Stores. Both Compton and Market Street bridges overpasses over 40s are scheduled to be reopened later this morning following ribbon ceremony cutting at 10:30 a.m. Westbound 70 at Riverview, look for a disabled vehicle in the traffic lanes. Westbound 270 at 367 in New Florissant, look for heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 44 at Mraz Overpass and 270, look for possible right lane being blocked due to delays there. Northbound 270 at 55 in Marshall, look for slow traffic in pockets. Eastbound 70 at K and Mid Rivers, look for no problems to report. Eastbound 40 at 141 and 270, heavy volume going on there. And all your approaches under the Poplar Street Bridge are slow rolling into downtown at this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Deal Stores. There's new deals in town with a brand new look. They still have great $1 deals plus big deals that are just too good to pass up, so they're passing them on to you. Come in for their grand reopening celebration September the 1st. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Friday. Mostly cloudy day, isolated showers this afternoon. High in the upper 70s this evening. Mostly cloudy in the evening, partly cloudy overnight. Low in the lower 60s. Thursday, partly sunny with a high around 80. And Friday, partly sunny with a high around 80 as well. Currently, we have 61 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 62. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, or your traffic and your weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can I discuss? I think I'm hearing revolution.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. People who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty,
disease and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
This is St. Louis Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly in-depth look at developments affecting the education of our children.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. I'm here with Peter Downs. Peter, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
How are you?
I'm good. How about you?
Very good. I imagine you're feeling kind of really good now that the first day is over with.
Yes, yes, very much. It went very smoothly. Really a good day in St. Louis Public Schools.
I think when we evaluate some things, we have to kind of put them in the, give kind of a historical perspective, and the we also have to describe the conditions under which this first day success was, the conditions that they had against them going into this. So can we do a little historical perspective of what has happened in the past on first day, and then the conditions that were thrust upon this new administration, and what happened after those conditions were thrust upon them?
Well, sure. And I'm sure most of your listeners already know the first day in St. Louis, first day in any urban school district is different from first day in a rural or suburban school district. And we St. Louis Public Schools, typically they've been getting somewhere in the mid-70% attendance, of their projected attendance, on first day of school. And this year that was going to be tough. As I wrote in St. Louis Schools Watch, just 2 months ago, the district was headed in a direction where it was going to crash and burn on the first day.
Six weeks ago. Okay.
You know, half the teachers were not placed in positions. You didn't have principals of all schools. Didn't have counselors.
But and I also want to put that in perspective, too, of how we got to that place. These were the decisions that were made by Craig Williams and Slay's board to fire 1,200 teachers and then put somebody in charge of figuring out if they're going to be hired, put only one person in charge of reading the resumes and checking the six references of each one of those teachers that wanted their job back. Those were Craig Williams and Francis Slay's decisions.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. They said they fired the teachers. They told them all. They told, and we never got an exact number. I don't think anybody ever got an exact number. But nearly half the teachers in the district got notices saying, you don't have this job anymore. You have to reapply if you want to work for St. Louis Public Schools.
And give us six references, or is it three references or six references?
Three references.
Three references, and we've got to check your references.
Right. And they did that without really putting in place any process or any people for rehiring the teachers. So, you know, threw all these teachers out there, and then it was like, oh, how do we interview them? Well, you know, I don't know, let's pull together, you know, a couple secretaries, let's pull together a PR person, let's have them interview teachers. You know, how do we check the references? Well, I don't, you know, there's one person down there somewhere, you know.
And this, again, is 6 weeks out. 6 weeks ago, this was the case in the St. Louis Public Schools.
Yes.
And we also have to, add the fact that when you have this many teachers, with over 1,000 teachers without a job, without placement or a job, 6 weeks out, that means that there's a ton of planning that's not going on for kids on the first day of school and the second day of school and every day after that.
Absolutely. And I just want to share something about how difficult it was to place teachers when this new leadership team came in. Mm-hmm. They found that there was no master list of teaching positions.
Craig Williams had no master
list. There's no list. There's no master list of teachers.
Craig Williams had no master list of teachers.
No master list. He's coming to Human Resources. Well, you know, all right, how many teaching positions? Well, yeah, we don't know. Where are the teaching positions? We don't know. Oh, we don't know.
And I guess...
Well, how many teachers have received these letters? Well, we don't know. What are their names? We don't know.
But, and again, when we say Craig Williams did this, Craig Williams hired the person to work in Human Resources that had never worked in Human Resources in a public school ever before.
Correct.
Okay, so that was his decision. That's the team that he surrounded himself with, and we see the result of that team when you walk into the human resources department and ask for a list of the teachers that were released, and they don't have a list. They don't have a master list of teachers.
That's right.
So that's the result of hiring people with $100,000 salaries, and they don't have any experience in what they're doing. And this is 6 weeks out. Okay.
So just, you know, imagine the difficulty of trying to place teachers when you don't know who they are. You don't know how many there are. You don't know who they are. So there were difficulties. There were challenges. There were teachers who, when they're placed, they're moved. Because you find out, oh, there's another teacher over here who's right to that. A lot of things. But by opening day, we had teachers in all the classrooms. Not always a certified teacher. There were teachers I know of two teachers who turned in their resignations just last Friday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they've been placed in classrooms. Friday they resigned.
Mm-hmm.
Bam. You know, so substitutes were there Monday.
Okay.
But substitutes were there in the classroom, start of school Monday. So that was probably really the biggest issue, is getting the schools staffed.
And we're going to talk more about this. This is St. Louis Public Schools Watch. I'm talking to Peter Downs. I'm Liz Brown. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Hospice care. Families turn to hospice care when facing the terminal illness of a loved one. The Point of Change Hospice provides an environment in which families can cope with the transition of their loved one in the supportive, loving, and comfortable setting of their own home. Through pain management, emotional counseling and support, and compassionate health care, the Point of Change Hospice treats the patient as a whole person facing end-of-life issues. The Point of Change Hospice provides physical, emotional, practical, and spiritual care for adults and children in the last phases of terminal illnesses. The Point of Change provides skilled hospice nursing, medical social services, occupational therapy, physical therapy, chaplain and counseling services, bereavement follow-up, and trained hospice volunteers. There are also physician-ordered services. The Point of Change Hospice also accepts Medicare, Medicaid, and private health insurance. Not a dime comes out of your pocket. The Point of Change Hospice. One of their counselors is waiting to talk to you. Give them a call at 535-4500. That's 535-4500. The Point of Change Hospice. Caring for families, caring for our community, caring for you.
This is Lloyd Sloan, the Sloan Ranger. Defending truth, fighting bad guys, and sometimes wearing a mask. A little history, a little entertainment, current events, a lot of good fun, and healthy debate. Call me, argue. If you're wrong, I will disarm you. But have no fear. The Sloan Ranger never shoots to kill. That's weekdays 5 to 6 on WGNU.
Another of those You Won't Want to Miss It programs coming up Wednesday on The Wake Up Call. Retired General Robert Gard is a senior fellow at the Center for Arms Control. He's no fan of the idea the Bush administration is throwing around about attacking Iran. He's also examined many of the ramifications of Iran's decision to continue with its nuclear program despite the threat of sanctions by the U.S. and U.N. Is more conflict imminent, or is there a way around this issue without bloodshed? Some cogent insights coming up Wednesday morning at 9 with Lieutenant General Robert Gard on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net, the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Good morning, Miss Liz.
Good morning. Who's this?
This is Dontrell Busby calling you from Laclede School, Zachy Gray Room 209. Thank you, Miss Liz, for the gift from Africa that you gave to everyone. We are watching a movie. The movie is called Roots. In the movie, the setting is in a village called Jufurey. And Roots was voted by Alex Haley. Miss Liz, we had our Awards Day program, and I received an achievement trophy. Have a good summer. Y'all trail buzz from 209 for a dignity. Reign supreme. Love you.
Love you. Thank you.
What a wonderful world.
This is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back, welcome back. I'm Liz Brown. Peter, okay, we've talked about some of the internal pre-produced, if you will, Craig Williams problems that the district had 6 weeks out when we got a new change. There are also some external pressures that are going on, too. And to me, these are remarkably consistent and revealing external pressures. Talk to us about that.
All right. Let me just take about 30 seconds before doing that to add on to the internal things. And people probably, there's a restructuring of several schools in the district. So they're going to have different grade levels, or middle schools become high schools. There are three where they're supposed to have different things like that, which completely change families' expectations, even their habits of where they've been sending children. And nothing was really done to enroll kids for the new grades or new schools that was going on. So that was another element of confusion thrown in there. Externally, we've had the biggest thing probably is a public campaign by the mayor. And
the Francis Lay, the fact that he no longer has a majority control on the board, he is he's trying to, I mean, it's remarkable. He's trying to trash the district. He's absolutely trying to trash the district.
Basically, he was trying to get people to stay home on the first day. You know, he kept saying schools are not going to open. You know, well, you know, if you think schools aren't going to open, you're not going to send your kids there, right? So he's saying schools aren't going to open.
He's saying this out of his mouth, that the schools are not going to open.
Yes, he said that out of his mouth. That was the reason he gave for saying that the state should come in and take over the schools. He said, well, they are not going to open. The state needs to take it over. Now, the state, you know, DESE issued a statement. They're very clear that they weren't going to do that. But you still had the spin on it by the reporting in the Post-Dispatch that, oh, a state takeover is looming because the schools can't open.
So they open. And so what are some of the things that Francis Slay was doing in an attempt to make what he was saying accurate? The external things that he was doing to make certain that the schools wouldn't open.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of talk from people in the district about suddenly, you know, more building inspectors coming in and doing inspections hadn't been done. We know from employees, for example, a lot of the fire safety systems hadn't been inspected in years. Suddenly they're being inspected. They're, you know, do you have the right light bulb here in this warning sign kind of thing? We know from parents who had requested inspections. You know, two, three years ago, being told, we don't inspect schools.
Now all of a sudden,
we're inspecting schools.
And I love what Diana Borisso said about bring it on. We're fine. Bring it on. We've handled our business. We hired somebody. Oh, no, someone volunteered who had the expertise to come in and do this weeks ago before you all thought of trying to send inspectors out for the purpose of closing the schools down.
That's right, because the inspectors, these weren't inspections in mid-July. These weren't inspections 1st of August. These were inspections the week before school.
The week before school. So his attempt
to... a gotcha kind of move.
Yeah, but again, it's another one of those firing blanks because you should have sent them earlier, before Diana Borisso got there, if you wanted to expose what was going on in the schools, because it was too little too late, the changes, or the Diana Borisso had made certain that the schools were
right.
Safe. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Right. We had there's an issue with tax money. This is impounded tax money because people who had appealed taxes in 2004, 2005, and their money is still sitting there in the Collector Revenue's office a year, 2 years later, impounded. Under state law, any district, any school district, art museum district, any of those whose tax money is impounded for that long, can file a petition with the court to say, you know, to get the money. And it's a routine. It's done all over the state. School district uses forms used by St. Louis County districts to get money from the county. It's been going on over a decade. You know, records older than that are in storage somewhere. But, you know, we had people change. Past treasurers did it. And this year, suddenly,
We don't get our money.
The city said, no, we're challenging this. And the excuse given in the Post-Dispatch was, well, we need to keep it just in case we need to pay it back, which is a very thin excuse because the law really says, you know, if your school if the school district gets the money and then somebody is entitled to a refund by the appeals committee, tax appeals committee ruling on that, then the school district pays it back.
But here's the thing. We already have a district that, by out of his own mouth and out of the mouthpieces for Francis Slay, the district is in financial crisis. You hear people saying that all the time. The district is in financial crisis. We're concerned about whether the district is going to open. We're concerned about the quality of education that our kids are going to get. We're concerned. So your response to that concern from Francis Slay is keeping the money from a financially strapped district. The Post-Dispatch should be ashamed of themselves for not going after Francis Slay for this. That's the most outrageous thing that I don't know of any. And that is evidence why you cannot put the schools in the hands of a mayor, because they're going to be using this for political purposes. Look what he has done to the district, when he doesn't control it anymore for political purposes. He's keeping food out of the mouth of babies.
Right. And I agree completely. We should say this, you know, in the interest of full disclosure here, as the Post reported, the mayor insists, That's not me. That's that dastardly collective revenue acting all on his own. I have nothing to do with that.
Mm-hmm. And the Post letting him get away with that.
Right.
Because it is a dastardly deed to keep money. I mean, to keep food out of the mouth of babies. That's what it comes down to. To keep books out of the hands of school children. You know,
right.
to stand up in front of the schoolhouse door saying you can't come in. And I'm not gonna keep you from coming in. Precisely because your skin is black, but I'm going to keep you from coming in because I'm going to keep the money from you, and you just happen to be mostly black.
Right.
just happen to be mostly black. So what? And then there's another thing that Francis Slay is doing that is illegal.
Yes. And I think that this says, add to everything else. It says volumes about his priorities.
And how and the depths that he will go to pay back political obligations.
As we talked earlier on this show, and it's been in other news reports, this year we have yellow school buses for high school students.
Mm-hmm.
For the last 2 years at least, maybe three, I don't exactly remember when it started, but during the last 2 years we were using Metro to transport many of the high school students.
And even some of the big grammar school kids, too. A lot of the kids had little Metro passes.
They had Metro passes,
mm-hmm.
Yes. It turns out using Metro was illegal.
Mm-hmm.
And the state... Director of School Transportation for the whole state talked to the director here and explained that it's illegal. And that's why you aren't getting any money from us,
mm-hmm.
for transportation.
By the by, when Bill Roberti said, oh, let's kill the budget here because it costs this much money and let's go buy Metro passes, Bill Roberti and Francis Slay and all of those folks ignored the fact that the state was reimbursing us on transportation.
Yeah, the state reimburses about half the cost of transportation
half.
If you use a school bus.
Half. They reimburse us.
Yes.
Okay.
So that's a lot of money.
Yes, it is.
This is in the millions of dollars
right.
a year we're talking here. So the decision was made to go back to yellow buses, and what I've been told by people in the district is that they have been lobbied by Robin Wabi in the mayor's office as a so-called education liaison to go back to Metro, even though we now know it's illegal to use Metro. She says, you got to use Metro. Metro's hurting. They need help.
Now, let's just kind of just like percolate on that comment from Francis Slay. The St. Louis Public Schools money is supposed to be used, from their perspective, to shore up the extraordinarily fiscal, irresponsible decisions that have been made by Metro. The Metro system that doesn't serve North St. Louis or South St. Louis. Is there a Metro hookup in South St. Louis? Is there a Metro hookup
No.
in North St. Louis? The city of St. Louis is not, it's used to bring suburbanites, pass them through and get them to their jobs out in the county, out in Clayton and all of that. So now Francis Slay's decision is to let's use the little bit of money that the St. Louis Public Schools have to go shore up the coffers of Metrolink.
Yep. It said, you know, don't use the money to educate the kids. Use the money for a system. Is it suburbs? And remember, Metro was initially designed to move tourists from the airport to downtown.
There you go. And ignore the fact that it's illegal.
Because
Metro's fiscal irresponsible decisions that they've made is more important than some stinking law. We're going to take a break. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Chaser Plus. In both directions, Compton and Market Street bridges will reopen after 10:30 ribbon-cutting ceremony this morning. Northbound 270 at 55 Antesson Ferry, an earlier disabled vehicle has been removed from the traffic lanes, but expect some delays. Westbound 270 at Old Halls Ferry and 170, look for very heavy volume going on. Eastbound 70 at Bryan Road and T.R. Hughes, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 at 141 and Spady, look for very heavy volume going on there as well. Northbound 55 between Butler Hill and 270 is heavy in the right lanes, and all your approaches on the Poplar Street Bridge are stop and go this hour. Eads Bridge is slowing down through the mid-span, and westbound Kingbridge traffic, you can expect normal traffic rolling into the city. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Chaser Plus. This Labor Day, use a designated driver to avoid accidents and avoid hangovers. Take Chaser Plus. Chaser absorbs toxins to help you wake up feeling great. Buy Chaser products at Walgreens, CVS, and GNC stores. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. For today, look forward to mostly cloudy, possible isolated shower this afternoon, high in the upper 70s. This evening, mostly cloudy evening, partly cloudy overnight with a low in the lower 60s. Thursday and Friday, partly sunny both days with a high in the upper 80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 64 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 64 as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's more of St. Louis Schools Watch with Peter Downs. It's up next. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Where else, indeed. Washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, everything that you need to make your house a home, a palace, a wonderful, wonderful place. Get on over to Sears. It's the only Sears in the city of St. Louis. Why go out to the mall when you have it right here? Plus, you get great deals, deals that you can't get at the mall, and you get customer service that is beyond compare. You know what? Get on out to Sears at Union and Natural Bridge. My name is Liz Brown. Tell them that I told you to.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT,
if you have suffered
GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
Another of those You Won't Want to Miss It programs coming up Wednesday on the Wake Up Call. Retired General Robert Gard is a senior fellow at the Center for Arms Control. He's no fan of the idea the Bush administration is throwing around about attacking Iran. He's also examined many of the ramifications of Iran's decision to continue with its nuclear program despite the threat of sanctions by the U.S. and U.N. Is more conflict imminent, or is there a way around this issue without bloodshed? Some cogent insights coming up Wednesday morning at 9 with Lieutenant General Robert Gard on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
This is, good morning, Miss Liz. This is Amir Mahan calling you from LaCree School, second grade, from 209. Miss Liz, I had a good time with you. Miss Liz, our class is watching Roots. Kuta Kite knows his roots. His mother name is Pizza, and his father name is Amaru. Kita has dignity. Have a good summer. This is Amir Muhammad from Room 209, where dignity reigns supreme. Love you.
Love you.
What a wonderful
This is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. I'm Liz Brown. I'm here with Peter Downs. Peter, you went to some of the schools. And, in fact, tell us the board members. A lot of board members went to the majority of board members went to the schools on first day.
Yeah, all board members were actually given schedules or suggestions, you know, go to split up the schools so that a lot of different schools were visited by board members on the first day. Majority of board members did that. I understand three board members. Archibald Jackson and Fowler did not.
So those are like the Black Leadership Roundtable members did not visit the St. Louis Public
Did not actually go in schools on
the first day.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
Okay.
The Veronica O'Brien, Donna Jones, Bill Purdy, and I, we all did.
Okay.
And I went to five schools on the first day other than my daughter's schools.
Mm-hmm.
That was a start off at Lafayette, which is a new ninth grade center for kids who otherwise would have gone to Roosevelt. Then went to Roosevelt, Mann Elementary, Woodward, and Compton Drew.
And how was it?
And it was, to me, it was very much a typical opening day. And the schools themselves were ready. They were some of the schools. I was surprised at how much they gleamed.
Really?
I mean, they were really clean and, mm-hmm. and shiny. Walked around, saw teachers in classrooms, saw textbooks, you know, piled on desks and stuff all out there. At Lafayette School, which is a brand new ninth grade center, they had, I was there about half an hour after school started, and they had a very low attendance there.
These were ninth grade centers created by Craig Williams, but
yes.
They didn't have the accompanying PR. I mean, we had PR
right.
about Craig Williams and about what he was doing in the district, but you got to go out into the community and let the community know that these are the options that are available.
Absolutely.
And none of that happened.
If you have suffered roof damage from the recent severe weather.
And none of that happened.
Absolutely. In fact, when we went to Roosevelt later, the principal did say that they had ninth graders coming in that they had to then send down to, mm-hmm. to Lafayette.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, there were some bus problems.
Mm-hmm. But we have increased buses. We have more buses on the roads picking our babies up than we've had in 3 years.
Yes, and from most accounts, the buses have run much smoother. It's mm-hmm. worked much smoother. There are 27,000-30,000 kids you're trying to move around, there are going to be some problems.
Mm-hmm.
Lafayette, again, that was one. There were, I know, two immigrant families who came in when I was there
mm-hmm.
Where they had somebody there, some interpreter somewhere, where they missed the bus. And in one case, they determined very much they got there. You know, they showed up 5 minutes after the bus was supposed to
okay.
pick the child. So there's some of that confusion that
right.
goes on, too.
Right.
There are, I know, at Woodward, there's a case of a bus driver we talked to who said they ran the route and didn't find any kids, so they're trying to figure out, was their route assignment wrong,
mm-hmm.
things wrong. You know, there are things they have on both ends there
okay.
that need to be straightened out.
But you got a letter from a parent about who has been dealing with the St. Louis Public Schools and buses.
Yes.
Share that with folks.
Yes, got a letter from a parent who said she's had kids in St. Louis Public Schools for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And this year went out with her son. You know, I don't know how many kids she has, but this is a son who catches the bus. And the bus didn't show up. And she called Layla. And she wrote back just describing how polite and apologetic they were. And says in 10 years of dealing with the bus company for school districts, this is... the first time they've ever apologized for missing a stop.
Wow.
And so they're very polite about all. And in the evening, the bus driver talked to her, and the bus driver apologized, too, and said it wouldn't happen again.
Wow. You know,
that he missed that stop.
And that's exactly, I mean, it's a shame that I have to say wow now, because that's how it's supposed to happen. But just to know that that's the kind of energy that is percolating through the district right now. I mean, that to me, that just really says that people are taking ownership of and feeling freer to do things than they've had and than they've been able to feel in a long time.
Absolutely. I think it's the whole atmosphere is different. The atmosphere that says, hey, we're here to serve the families. We're here to serve the children. And certainly the atmosphere for the last couple of years has been, you know, they're dirt, you know.
There you go.
Yeah, we don't have to pay attention to them. And, you know, it just rolled down. We've had superintendents who treat their employees like dirt, and they treat principals and teachers like dirt, and then the principals treat teachers like dirt. And so it all rolls down.
There you
go. A whole different change in values and mindset, I think.
And so, okay, so you went to the schools. I mean, the majority board members went to the schools. They went on the first day. Talk to us about the numbers.
The numbers to me seem pretty typical first day numbers, again, aside from Lafayette, where it was low, in that it varied from school to school. Roosevelt, the principal, talked about that there were a lot of kids showing up who had not already enrolled, and it was more than his staff could handle. So he was sending kids home, saying, come back tomorrow.
Well, that's a problem. That's a problem. That's a problem that needs to be fixed. That's
yes.
a problem. That,
yes.
That is unacceptable.
And I understand the same thing happened at Vashon. I got a letter from a parent.
Absolutely unacceptable.
How do you
send a baby home? If you do anything, you should have had the babies sitting in the auditorium until you get to them. Why would you send them back home? That's crazy.
And they did have some staying, you know, some staying in the auditorium.
We need to look into that.
Whatever. We have to make sure that's not still happening.
Right.
And if more help is needed there to get all the children processed with schedules and roll, then we need to put that help.
And I'm concerned about, and again, I think that there should be some focus on principals that's the thing that they think to do is to send a child back home on the first day of school, a high school kid. Because it's hard enough to get high school kids in to begin with. We should be putting our arms around them and making certain that they stay.
Okay. And then there's also, I know at Roosevelt, we talked to one family, a father there had a son in there, who used to live. They used to live on Shenandoah near Roosevelt, but they'd moved up, I think it was Stoddard, they'd moved up near Beaumont.
Mm-hmm.
But because all of his friends from where he used to live were down there, he wanted to go to Roosevelt. So they came down and enrolled in Roosevelt. And, of course, you can't. You know,
can't
they said, no, he's got to go to Beaumont. And the father said, we really live, he said, about half a block from Beaumont. He said, it'll be easy. You know, it's easy then for him to get to Beaumont.
Right.
You know, and so those things go on, too. And that happens every year, you know, especially at high school. Kids want to go, you know, my friends are going down here. I want to go to that school.
Right.
And so that's something that has to be sorted out every year.
Right.
They went to Mann. At Mann, they had a very high turnout. The principal there thought they were going to end up with numbers higher than they had expected there. They already, on the ESOL, the immigrant children who don't speak, who aren't native English speakers, they had already at 8:30 had 130 showed up, and they had only had, I think it was 110 enrolled you know, before school started. So. A big increase there. Woodward, but we were there about, I was there probably 9:30, and they'd already pretty much had cleared the process. Most of the families who hadn't enrolled their children, they had a line in the hallway there, but they very quickly were getting kids processed and assigned to classes.
Very good.
I hear music, sorry. Compton Drew was the other one we went to. We had heard some concerns there about a special ed class. Went in there, and everything was fine. Some of the parents were there very, very happy. The rumors about problems turned out to be
just rumors.
Mm-hmm.
Very good, very good. We'll be back. I want to talk to some of this madness about the LAC Leadership Roundtable and what their role is going to be and the misinformation that they have about Floyd Irons. We're going to talk about some more of that nonsense when we come back. St. Louis Public Schools Watch. We'll be back. What is hospice care? Well, families turn to hospice care when facing the terminal illness of a loved one. The Point of Change Hospice provides an environment in which families can cope with the transition of their loved one in the supportive, loving, and comfortable setting of their own home. Through pain management, emotional counseling and support, and compassionate health care, the Point of Change Hospice treats the patient as a whole person facing end-of-life issues. Founded in 2001, the Point of Change Hospice provides physical, emotional, practical, and spiritual care for adults and children in the last phases of a terminal illness. They provide skilled hospice nursing, medical social services, home health aid and homemakers, occupational therapy and physical therapy, chaplain and counseling services, bereavement follow-up. They also provide physician-ordered services, medications for pain management, relief and comfort, medical supplies, medical equipment. And the Point of Change Hospice accepts Medicare, Medicaid, and private health insurance. You don't have to pay a dime. The Point of Change Hospice. One of their counselors is waiting to talk to you right now. Give them a call at 535-4500. That's 535-4500. The Point of Change Hospice. Caring for families, caring for our community, and caring for you.
The Wake Up Call Global News Update is brought to you this hour by Philip Person Roofing. For free estimates, call 602-1047. This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Baghdad. About 100 Shiite soldiers in the Iraqi army refused orders to assist in the security crackdown in the capital city. This is the second time a contingent of Iraqi soldiers has refused to follow the orders given to their unit. The head of the Iraqi American Assistance Group, Brigadier General Dana Fattard, says the problem appears to be a regional issue, as soldiers are recruited in their home areas and are expected to train and serve there. The soldiers who refused orders came from a unit in a province well to the south of Baghdad and refused to leave their area. And a Dateline Chicago. The organization that administers the Scholastic Aptitude Test each year for high school seniors reports that scores for 2006 are the lowest in 31 years. The College Board says part of the drop appears to be due to some students taking a longer version of the test just one time instead of twice. This year's test took almost 4 hours to complete because an essay section was added. The test also had higher level math questions and did away with the analysis section. This news directly contradicts the results of the ACT exam, which had posted the biggest increase in scores in 20 years. The College Board says when students took the exam in two parts, scores normally went up. But the test has been developed to be in one long session, and the price has also gone up from $28 to $41. This is your wake-up call global news update, brought to you this hour by Philip Person Roofing. If you have suffered roof damage from the recent severe weather, Phil Person Roofing is still a name you can trust. Licensed and certified for commercial and residential jobs, Phil Person Roofing offers free estimates for all work. To contact Person Roofing, call this special emergency number, 602-1047. That's 602-1047. Phil Person Roofing, 602-1047.
Hi, this is Herb Steck. I'm the host of The West Wing, right here on WGNU Radio. Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., covering politics here in St. Louis, across the state, in the Capitol in Jeff City, and on the national level. Call in with your questions, your comments. Drop us an email, WGNU@hotmail.com. We'll be happy to talk about any political subject you want to talk about on Wednesday nights, right here on The West Wing with Herb Steck.
Can you guess what that sound is? Let me help you out. It's a jail cell door getting slammed shut after you've been booked for DUI. Don't think you'll get caught? Think again. Officers are cracking down from coast to coast this month. So listen up. If you drive impaired, you will pay. Drunk driving, over the limit, under arrest. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Transportation.
John Madden here to tell you about Ace Hardware's Labor Day sale going on this weekend only, September 1st through the 4th, at participating Ace stores. Get a $5 rebate on every gallon of Ace Royal paint you buy, limit 10 gallons. And don't forget paint supplies like a four-piece paintbrush set priced at $2.99 or a three-pack of Ace paint rollers for $3.99. Both are free after rebate. Ace, the helpful place. Quantities limited. Available at participating stores.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware for.
The struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Good morning, Miss Lee. This is Taylor Mitchell calling you from a clean school, second grade room 209. Miss Liz, I'm having a great year. I love you. I love the beautiful necklace, African necklace that you gave me. Miss Liz, did you ever know that you're my hero? You are the best I ever know, just like my teacher. Because you are the star of my eye, just like my teacher. I'm in room 209 where dignity reigns supreme. Have a happy summer. Love you.
Love you.
This is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. Let me get to a caller or two right quick here. Yes, you're on the St. Louis Public Schools Watch.
Miss Brown, the truth will set you free. Miss Brown, I have never been so happy the way this thing went off with Peter. I'm so happy to show this mayor what he did, what he tried to do, but we won't forget him, Ms. Brown, because as you know, his term will be coming up. I hope the voters won't remember this, what this tacky mayor did to the school board, to the school system. And Peter, my question is to you, could you please explain to me, why would Flint Fowler sign on to a lawsuit when he's got relatives in the school district with Bob Archibald and Ron Jackson? Now, I do feel that Bill Purdy will win his lawsuit. Peter, can you comment on that, please? Thank you, Peter. Have a nice day, Ms. Brown.
Okay, Flint Fowler and Ron Jackson and Floyd Irons and several other people had filed a lawsuit to get Bill Purdy removed from the school board. And it was, and Flint, I don't know why Flint Fowler did it. He did later remove his name. But the lawsuit says it was illegal for Bill Purdy to be on the board because it violates board policy.
Violates board policy because of family members.
Because board policy says family members can't, you can't be on the board if you have family members to a certain degree working for the district. And that policy was put in after the legislature had adopted such a law. Then a Missouri court threw out the law. And so the legislature had to change it.
Mm-hmm.
And the board, you know, just didn't. Yeah.
And the law is that law takes precedent over board policy. I mean, you have a board policy that it's okay to kill people on Wednesday. Well, the law is that you can't kill anybody.
That's
on,
right. That
on,
doesn't matter what day.
It doesn't matter what day. So you can't have board policy that runs contrary to what the law says.
That's right.
So that's the argument.
And one of the odder things about this suit actually is Ron Jackson, because Ron Jackson's on the board. The board has to approve the nominees for the school board.
Mm-hmm.
The board vets them. So you sign up to run for school board doesn't automatically mean you're on the ballot.
Okay.
School board actually has to vet the nominees and say, yes, they meet the requirements to be on the board,
mm-hmm.
so they can run. So Ron Jackson, as a school board member, had voted that Bill Purdy met all the legal requirements. Bob Archibald did as well. Met all the legal requirements to be on the school board so he could be a candidate listed on the ballot. And now, you know, the suit, so now he's suing not just Bill Purdy, but he's suing the school board for saying that Bill Purdy could be on the ballot. So it's odd case of he's suing himself.
He's suing, well, you know, and I understand, you've done enough, I understand, but maybe this is just like instinctual, he doesn't know why he's doing this, but he needs, I understand, you're attacking yourself for not doing your job, I've been attacking you for not doing your job. So it's all that makes sense, you know, eventually he got on our bandwagon and saying that Ron Jackson is not doing his job. I like that, So, and let's get to this, this other piece about the Floyd Irons, because Floyd Irons signed on it too, but Floyd Irons signed on a lawsuit saying that One of the interesting things that's going on with Floyd Irons, though, is that we get this insane press release from the LAC Leadership Roundtable. And the LAC Leadership Roundtable says it's about Floyd Irons. And it says that the LAC Leadership Roundtable is seriously concerned about the recent decision of the St. Louis Public Schools to remove Coach Floyd Irons, apparently without proper due process. What does that's not that it doesn't even comport with the facts, does it? Has he been?
Yeah, no, and actually, what they say is terminate Coach Floyd Irons, at least in this copy I have here.
Okay,
and he's not. He works for the school. Well,
that's in the first paragraph. It says to remove Coach Floyd Irons apparently without proper due process.
Okay, all right. They're repeating something which is false.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff about, a lot of stuff has been going on saying, well, Floyd Irons got fired. Floyd Irons did not get fired.
He has a teaching
job. He got transferred.
Okay.
He has a teaching job.
Right.
Now, I don't know about the last 2 days, since school started, but, teachers were supposed to show up about 2 weeks ago. Floyd Irons did not.
He didn't show up for his job.
Now, after the week of in-service, the week of training that, mm-hmm. that he missed, he did show up at Vachon for something. That's not where his job is.
Where's his job?
And he complained, and what I've heard from people there is while there he complained of chest pains and was taken to the hospital in an ambulance. Apparently the man has health problems. I don't know if it's unclear if he's going to be able to teach, because of those health problems. So
taking like a medical leave of absence. I mean, I've heard the rumors out there that Floyd Irons is going to use this as an opportunity to get paid and not be in the schools at all. I mean, so what's the concern here? If you have such a severe medical ailment, you shouldn't be out. The district certainly can't afford for you to have a heart attack in the middle of a game, right?
Right. Yeah. So I really don't know where the Black Leadership Roundtable is coming there. Floyd Irons has a job if he's able to do it. He's the one who determines his health and brings in a doctor's evaluation if he thinks he's not able to do it. It's really up to him whether he shows up for his job or not.
One would think so, and I would think that teaching our children is the most important thing. And if you don't have enough respect or concern or care about our kids enough to show up for your job in preparation for teaching these kids, that's not, you don't hire people like that. You don't keep people like that. You don't embrace people like that, and you don't support pouty adults that don't go to work because they didn't get their way. How do you not show up when your job says we need to prepare you for the kids and you don't show up for your job? That's problematic in anybody's job when you don't show up.
I think with any employer it is, yeah.
So, and looking at this LAC Leadership Roundtable, here's what I'm seeing, Peter. It appears that the LAC Leadership Roundtable is, and this is the problem, the editor of the St. Louis American is on the LAC Leadership Roundtable. They send out two press releases, one that says that that the district should be shut down if they don't meet certain requirements, mythical requirements by the LAC Leadership Roundtable, and then this letter about Floyd. One of the members, the editor or the publisher of the St. Louis American, is also on this committee that's been appointed by the state. And my concern is that if your organization that you are a member of is sending out these kinds of press releases, questioning what is going on, challenging what is going on with the district, the decisions that the board is meeting, that the board is doing, how can you be an impartial person on a committee to evaluate what's going on in the district?
I think that's a good question they have to answer. I think there are two members of the Black Leadership Roundtable who are on that committee,
mm-hmm.
the publisher of St. Louis American, mm-hmm. and Frankie Freeman. I think she's on the Black Leadership Roundtable.
Right. So where's the impartiality here when you're looking? You're already walking into a committee with an agenda. you know, saying that the district is not doing right and the district has not done right, and that the district, it doesn't look like the district is capable of doing right. Where's
right.
the
and then they're putting this out before the committee has really even started its business.
There you go.
So it's kind of prejudged.
Yes, it has. Yes, and that's problematic, and that gets to the entire credibility and the agenda of this committee that's supposed to be out here looking at things. And add that to the fact that the first meeting that this committee had was in secret and apparently in violation of the Sunshine Act. So all of those things, that's just something that we're going to have to keep our eye on. And Peter, when's the next school board meeting and the next time that people will be able to come out and see what's going on with the district?
I think next school board meeting, the administrative meeting, I think there's going to be a school board meeting on September 12th, if the date's right. I think Labor Day is the 4th, mm-hmm. so Tuesday the 5th, so September 12th will be next school board meeting.
Very good. Peter Downs, thank you so much. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.
All right. Take care.
The truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, charity, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that
for the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. It wasn't a hurricane. In fact, Ernesto really wasn't much of a tropical storm either when it sloshed ashore in Florida last night. The main thing? Rain. More from ABC's Vic Ratner in Palm Beach.
Ernesto is bringing gusty winds and rain to South Florida, but nothing like what had been feared. Forecaster Richard Knapp.
It's probably going to spend most of the day today over the Florida Peninsula and then emerge over the Atlantic Ocean waters probably overnight tonight.
Schools, courts, offices, even most gas stations are closed as Ernesto moves slowly up through the state at about 8 miles an hour. Forecasters say the storm could bring heavy flooding to Georgia, North Carolina, and the Mid-Atlantic by the weekend. Vic Ratner, ABC News, Palm Beach.
Forecasters are also watching a storm off the west coast. John is a Category 3 hurricane, winds up to 115 miles an hour. It's spinning off Mexico's Pacific coast. Dan Mundell is with the National Hurricane Center.
We're expecting it to move sort of parallel the coast and get closer and closer to the Mexican coast throughout the day today.
John is expected to stay far away, however, from the U.S. At least 50 people are dead following bombings and other attacks across Iraq. The bombs targeted a market, an army recruiting center, and a police patrol. At least 24 people were killed when one went off in Baghdad's largest wholesale market. John Mark Carr, no longer a suspect in the JonBenet Ramsey murder case, but he is wanted in California on child pornography charges. ABC's Neil Karlinski says because of it, Carr will stay in a Colorado jail for now.
They do believe that this is a guy who's a real threat to children out on the streets, and they're worried about that. He faces some outstanding child pornography charges from 2001. Those are only misdemeanors. Don't carry a whole lot of jail time. He will face those charges. However, after that, authorities say they really are concerned about this guy, and they hope to keep tabs on him.
Carr faces 5 counts of possession of child pornography. He could get a year in prison for each if convicted. This is ABC News.
Honey, I think I need a new look.
So what, like a new haircut or something?
I meant the color of the living room.
I knew that.
It's the Labor Day sale at Sherwin-Williams. This Thursday through Monday, save 25% on our high-quality paints and stains, 15% on Duration Premium coatings, and an extra 25% on Waverly Wallpaper books, too. Hurry, sale ends Monday, September 4th.
Ask Sherwin-Williams.
For locations, visit SherwinWilliams.com. Some exclusions apply.
Dad, this is my boyfriend, Scott.
So, where are you from, Scott?
Seattle.
Any brothers, sisters?
One brother.
How's your driving record?
Good.
Ever been arrested?
Huh?
Serve in the military?
Sir?
Do you have any diseases?
Dad!
What if everything in life came with a 115-point inspection? Well, before we certify any Ford Lincoln Mercury pre-owned vehicle, it must first pass a rigorous point-by-point exam. Plus, all Ford Lincoln Mercury certified pre-owned vehicles come with a 6-year, 75,000-mile warranty, including 24-hour roadside assistance.
Any sports injuries?
No.
See dealer for warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
There may be a good reason why many smokers can't kick the habit. ABC's Richard Cantu explains.
There's more nicotine in cigarettes these days, making it harder to quit and easier to get hooked. The Massachusetts Department of Health is out with a study that found the overall level of nicotine in smokes has risen about 10% in the last 6 years. The study found the most popular brands with young people deliver significantly more nicotine than in the past, with the nicotine level in Kool, a popular menthol brand, rising 20%. Public health officials say health care providers trying to help smokers quit may have to adjust the strength of nicotine replacement therapies like nicotine patches and gums. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Would you want to be fired by email? More than 400 workers at Radio Shack's Fort Worth, Texas headquarters were yesterday. The company says the employees were told the cuts were coming in a meeting a few months back. And while the electronic pink slip may not be customary nor socially acceptable, it was legal. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
This report of WGNU News is brought to you by Chaser Plus. I'm Peyton Colston. In the news, U.S. Senate candidate and Missouri State Auditor Claire McCaskill says she'll work to reauthorize the No Child Left Behind Act, but with changes. McCaskill unveiled her education plan yesterday at St. Louis Community College at Forest Park. She says expanding federal control while underfunding the legislation has failed Missouri schools. The Democrat is promising to work to return control to state and local authorities. McCaskill is also calling for full funding for public schools that have met achievement goals. In other news, the Normandy Police Department is mourning the death of one of their own. 26-year-old Amanda Cates was found fatally shot early yesterday morning in her Crystal City home on Harbor Point Court. Normandy Police Chief Douglas Liebert says this has devastated his department.
We're just now trying to accept the shock, and it just feels like we were punched in the stomach. Just an empty spot there, and we're trying to figure out how to cope. But we will.
Kate's live-in boyfriend, 37-year-old Robert Brooks, is charged with second-degree murder in her death. Brooks is a Calverton Park police officer. Kate served as a resource officer for Normandy Middle School. And finally, a 16-year-old boy will remain in the custody of the juvenile system for a stabbing at an Alton pharmacy. The teen pleaded guilty in July to stabbing a 47-year-old woman in April at the CVS pharmacy on College Avenue. The boy's case will be reviewed annually to see if he's ready to be released, but he could remain in custody until he turns 21. His name has not been released because he was charged as a juvenile. And that's WGNU News for this hour, brought to you by Chaser Plus. This Labor Day, use a designated driver to avoid accidents and to avoid hangovers, take Chaser. Chaser absorbs toxins to help you wake up feeling great. Buy Chaser products at Walgreens, CVS, and GNC stores. I'm Peyton Colston with a report of WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by McDonald's. Eastbound 40 at Chesterfield Parkway, there's an incident. Left lane is closed. Westbound 270 at Old Halls Ferry and 170, look for heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 44 at the Meraz Overpass and 270, look for slow traffic in the right lane. Northbound 270 from Gravois to Marshall, you can expect slow traffic in pockets. Eastbound 70 from Bryan through T.R. Hughes, look for slow traffic there. Eastbound 40 from Spady all the way back through 141, heavy traffic in pockets. And westbound 40 at McCausland and Hanley, look for some slow traffic, as well as 270 through Mason. And all your approaches on the Poplar Street Bridge, you can expect delays, as well as the Eads Bridge and the King Bridge. Expect some delays rolling into downtown. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by McDonald's Premium Roast Coffee. McDonald's Premium Roast Coffee is bolder, smoother, and more robust, and it's made just the way you like it. Drive through today and taste it for yourself. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. Mostly cloudy today. Isolated showers this afternoon. High in the upper 70s. This evening, mostly cloudy. In the evening, becoming partly cloudy overnight with a low in the lower 60s. Thursday and Friday, partly sunny both days with a high around 80. Currently, we have 64 degrees. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Another of those You Won't Want to Miss It programs coming up Wednesday on the Wake Up Call. Retired General Robert Gard is a senior fellow at the Center for Arms Control. He's no fan of the idea the Bush administration is throwing around about attacking Iran. He's also examined many of the ramifications of Iran's decision to continue with its nuclear program, despite the threat of sanctions by the U.S. and U.N. Is more conflict imminent, or is there a way around this issue without bloodshed? Some cogent insights coming up Wednesday morning at 9 with Lieutenant General Robert Gard on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get up. Get to me. We have much to talk about. I want to talk about this for just a moment. I want to stay on a local issue just for a moment, and then I want to go to a couple of other national issues. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this is a national issue as well. I am so sick to death, tired of. I am so outraged at the meddling in politics by entities that are there for self-serving financial gain, or to be considered part of the political process. And I'm talking about the LAC Leadership Roundtable right now. Who the heck are you? Who do you lead, and where do you lead them? You call yourself the Black Leadership Roundtable, but you're nothing but the Lack Leadership Roundtable. Lead where, who, what? And the thing that is the most disturbing and disgusting about what this entity does is this. Get a press release from them. And the first sentence says something that just spits in the face of all of us that have been paying attention to what is going on in our city on the issue of education. The first sentence reads, the St. Louis Black Leadership Roundtable is a strong advocate for quality education and high academic standards in this region. Don't make me cuss. Don't make me cuss. If that were true, then where were you, bougie folks, out here smacking your lips, talking about how relevant we are? Where were you when the school district and the city of St. Louis dropped dozens of accreditation points when you had a majority of your members on the board? Oh, I forgot. That's where you were. You were on the school board in the majority. And you didn't say boo, you didn't bust a grape, you didn't grunt, you didn't whisper, you didn't say jack. Why? Because you're in the pocket of one of the most ineffective, one of the most powerless, one of the most politically, an elected official that has the political instinct of a toad. You're in the pocket of Slay. You're in the pocket of Slay. Slay can't even get his own ward to vote for his school board members, to vote for y'all, vote for members of the Lack Leadership Roundtable. And he can't get his ward to vote for his state senate candidate. When you add up all the votes in his ward, more votes against Jeff Smith than for him. And that's who the Lack Leadership Roundtable surrounds himself with and supports. That's who you jump to the call of shame on you. You are irrelevant. You don't have leadership, and you certainly don't care about our kids, because you should have said something when your members caused the St. Louis Public Schools to drop dozens of points away from full accreditation under your watch, your leadership, your actions. Get out of my face. I'll be back. Is hospice care. Families turn to hospice care when facing the terminal illness of a loved one. The Point of Change Hospice provides an environment in which families can cope with the transition of their loved one in the supportive, loving, and comfortable setting of their own home. Through pain management, emotional counseling, and support, the Point of Change Hospice treats the patient as a whole person facing end-of-life issues. Founded in 2001, the Point of Change Hospice provides physical, emotional, practical, and spiritual care for adults and children in the last phases of terminal illness. Point of Change provides skills hospice nursing, medical social services, home health aides and homemakers, occupational therapy, physical therapy, chaplain and counseling services, bereavement follow-up, support for the terminally ill and their family, trained hospice volunteers. The Point of Change accepts Medicare, Medicaid, and private health insurance. You don't pay a penny. At Point of Change Hospice, they are ready to hold your hand through this process, so give them a call at 535-4500. That's 535-4500. One of our skilled counselors is waiting to talk to you. Point of Change Hospice. Caring for family, caring for our community, and caring for you.
Aquí está lo que estabas esperando, la nueva Radio Mix. Sintonízanos todos los domingos de 6 a 8 de la noche a partir del 3 de septiembre por WGNU 920 AM. Entrevistas, eventos y la mejor música para ti. Radio Mix, la nueva de San Luis.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
Hi, I'm Vicki Pimentel, inviting you to join me right here on WGNU 920 AM on Friday nights for a little sports talk. We'll drop the gloves, scuffle a bit, and in the end, line up and shake hands. Yeah, right.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
My words might never explain, so I am hoping that I will. Things may not go as you planned, dark clouds might bring you pain, but I will be in your heart still, telling you don't look down. Don't feast your eyes on things that are on the ground. And if it gets hard to focus when you're traveling on those empty speed of sound, feeling nowhere bound, remember what I told you and don't.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. Get up, get up, get up, get up. Get to me. My number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Don't forget, on Saturday, the International Urban Institute is going to be Irene J. Smith and myself. We're going to be showing the film, the documentary by Spike Lee. Four parts to it. When the levees broke, that's going to be at the Urban Institute on Saturday. The address is 1020 North Taylor, and we're going to be showing 4 hours of this, four separate stories of when the levees broke, starting at 7 a.m. on Saturday. The address is 1020 North Taylor. We'll have some food there for you. We will have discussions there for you. We'll have all kinds of opportunities for you. We'll be giving away more copies of the Loose Change, so you don't want to miss that as well. Come on out. It's going to be a wonderful opportunity to discuss. It's going to be a wonderful opportunity to experience the year anniversary of Katrina. We can't forget. We have to move. We have to know what happened, and we also have to be inspired to do more. So this Saturday, the address is 1020 North Taylor. Come on out. We will be showing Spike Lee's movie documentary, When the Levees Broke. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. The percentage of people with job-based health insurance dropped last year, pushing up the level of uninsured Americans to 15.9%. 15.9%. Now, what is different about this, and this is the highest since 1998, The Census Bureau showed that 46 million people lacked health insurance in 2005. That's up from the 45 million in 2004. So a million people. Now, unlike in other years, there was no increase in the rate of enrollment of government-based programs. So what does that mean? That more people have been pushed off the rolls. Hispanics have the highest rate of being uninsured at 32%. The percent of children without coverage grew from 10.8% to 11%. This really represents the first increase in the percentage of children who are uninsured since 1998. And check this out. Feel this. I know I'm not telling you anything that you don't already know, don't already feel, aren't already keenly aware of. The number of people who bought their own insurance outside of their jobs fell from 9.3% of the population to 1%. That's the lowest rate since the census began tracking that in 1994 when it was at 12%. You understand what I'm saying? It's not because your employer is offering better health plans. It's not because the people are offering you better choices. You're not buying health care because you can't afford to do it. That's the real world that we are living in. That is the real world that we are living in. 1-877-920-WGNU. And I don't know, was this plucked from the pages of our front pages? Or from our emotional psyche of the St. Louis Public Schools? Who do you blame this on? Do you blame this on the coach? Or do you blame this on, who do you blame this on? Louisiana school, they lose their title over Katrina recruits. A Louisiana high school is fighting to retain its first football championship in 78 years. A title the state's athletics governing body has taken away for what it ruled was the illegal recruiting of players displaced last year by Hurricane Katrina. The Louisiana entity that does this, the LHSAA, they delivered its punishment because the assistant coaches physically brought the players to Bastrop High School instead of the players arriving under their own power. During a preliminary investigation at the end of the last season, the five players said that they arrived at the Bastrop independently, allegedly at the urging of their former assistant coach. So somebody was lying to get these babies into this school, and these babies caused this school to win its first state championship because the babies were used like this. I think, and maybe I don't, I didn't play the kind of sports in high school that boys play. I wasn't on the basketball team. I did gymnastics, and I did debate, so I was pretty much a nerd. But women often don't play the same types of competitive sports in high school, often, as boys do. At least boys have had a longer history of the football being such the heart of their high school life experience. I understand that. I played in the band, so I was there at the games with the team. But here's the thing. Here is the thing. Is it so important to win championships that our children are used as product? We're going to take these babies here so that this team can now win because we couldn't have gotten these players but for Katrina. It feels so opportunistic, and it feels like our children are being used as currency of some sort. You know, and I guess what I'm concerned about is the lie of this. Somebody is lying about how they got to this particular school. Did they get there because there was a shelter there? Or did they get there because their coach brought them there at this school? The superintendent of the school says the main thing I'm concerned with is these two young men who are trying to put the pieces of their lives back together. I don't want them to suffer because some adult had them write something that wasn't true. We didn't know it was false until recently. Everybody knew it was false when they wrote it. And to me, once again, we have our babies being used to do something for somebody else. And that's the problem with putting sports out there in such a high priority in our lives. Nobody's mentioned the kind of grades that they got or if they got their high school diplomas after winning this championship. My name is Liz Brown. I'll be back after this break. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Eastbound 40 at Chesterfield Parkway. All roadways are reopened after an earlier stall. Westbound 270 at Old Halls Ferry and 170. Look for that traffic to be easing. Eastbound 44 from Meraz Overpass through 270. Look for normal traffic. Northbound 270 is slow on either side of 44. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road all the way to T.R. Hughes. Look for slow traffic and all your approaches onto the Poplar Street Bridge. You can expect some delays as well as into downtown through the King Bridge and the Eads Bridge. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Play pick three from the Illinois Lottery and watch for the green ball double draw. One green ball, two chances to win. Illinois Lottery, have a ball, play responsibly. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. Mostly cloudy, isolated showers this afternoon, high in the upper 70s this evening. Mostly cloudy in the evening, becoming partly cloudy overnight with a low in the lower 60s. Thursday and Friday, partly sunny both days with a high around 80. Currently, we have 64 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 63. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, I'm Randy Grimm. Join me Fridays at 12 noon for Animal Tales on AM 920 WGNU. I learned at an early age that animals matter to me. Every week we'll share your stories. We'll discuss issues that matter most to you and your companion animals, from breed-specific laws to puppy mills, and answer your questions about pet care as well. You'll also enjoy our special guests as they share their tales. It's an hour of fur, friends, and fun every week. Join me, Randy Grimm, for Animal Tales every Friday at 12 noon on AM 920 WGNU. Woof.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
Where else, where else, where else indeed. Washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, you name it, they have it. And customer service that is just unbelievable. They have every single thing that you need to make your house a home, a great location and great deals. You need to get on over to Sears, get your shop on. I'm Liz Brown, tell them I told you to.
The Citizens Commission on Human Rights of St. Louis Incorporated presents the Electric Shock Radio Hour, a call and talk radio show airing on WGNU AM 920, on the net at WGNU.net, Wednesday nights starting at 7 p.m. hosted by Roger Teagarden, Executive Director of the Citizens Commission on Human Rights, St. Louis, Missouri. It is a timely and lively discussion of the scourge of modern civilization, psychiatry.
Another of those You Won't Want to Miss It programs coming up Wednesday on the Wake Up Call. Retired General Robert Gard is a senior fellow at the Center for Arms Control. He's no fan of the idea the Bush administration is throwing around about attacking Iran. He's also examined many of the ramifications of Iran's decision to continue with its nuclear program, despite the threat of sanctions by the U.S. and U.N. Is more conflict imminent, or is there a way around this issue without bloodshed? Some cogent insights coming up Wednesday morning at 9 with Lieutenant General Robert Gard on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Real life, on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Oh, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You want to get up? You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Don't forget, I broadcast live on the World Wide Web at WGNU.net. The show is archived at WhiteRoseSociety.org. You need to get up. You need to get to me. 1-877-920-WGNU. If you want to email me, do that at revolution@lizbrown.com, revolution@lizbrown.com. Get up, get to me. We have much to talk about. I, on a totally different tip, I have to just say, I saw probably the worst example, a train wreck of an example of the worst show that I've ever seen on television. It's just, to me, it was a train wreck. It was an absolute train wreck. I kept going back to it, as you tend to do when you're driving by. I keep looking at it. I watched I TiVo'd it so I could fast forward through the parts that were too painful to watch. But I watched that Celebrity Duets last night, and honest to God, it was a train wreck of a show. And so painful. The judges were painful. The contestants were painful. It was awful to see all of these wonderful people that could sing out here singing with these awful people who thought they could sing. And then not having the ability to really make fun of them. I mean, it was awful. I love Little Richard. I do. But he was awful. He was so woefully miscast as a judge. Everybody was wonderful. Then, huh? And there were times that people were whispering in his ear, "We're on camera now. We're on camera now." And then Marie Osmond, it was, and I don't know who the other guy was, but he was just mean. It was an awful train wreck of an idea. People that really, I don't know, I don't understand how anybody could come out and embarrass themselves like that. It was awful. It was really, really, and I had to TiVo it. I put it on pause. I recorded it so I could fast forward through the truly painful, 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 painful
folks singing. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. Robin.
Ms. Brown.
Did you see that? It was horrible. Was it just me?
No.
Or was it just horrible?
It was so sad.
It really was. It was an awful, awful, it was painful on so many different levels.
Oh, my goodness. I thought I was the only one.
Did you see little Richard? I felt so sorry for him. He was so woefully miscast. Everybody that came out there and sang off tune, you were wonderful. You really did it. Woo! Woo! It was just...
I was watching a Geico commercial.
I know. And Marie Osmond, what's the purpose of being a judge when you say, you really put it out there? You really did it. You sang it in the way you wanted to sing it. Well, that's just a polite way of saying you can't sing. And then having Gladys Knight stand next to some kid that cannot sing, putting her arms around, I mean, messing up her credibility, saying, oh, baby, you did that. I'm proud of you. No, you're not. No, you're not. You would tell that person you don't have any talent. And the guy from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yes.
Oh!
Carlton.
Oh, Carlton from Fresh Prince. Oh, every time I saw him up there, I kept thinking he was back on Fresh Prince, spoofing and dancing to Barry Manilow.
And the other guy, it's not unusual. What was his name?
Tom Jones. It was dreadful. That wrestler should have been knocked to his feet and pummeled with a chair. He was just awful.
I really thought me and my kids were the...
Oh, I don't know. I don't remember a time that it was more painful to watch television. And I kept going back because I kept thinking, you know what, I don't have an explanation why I kept going back. I don't know. I just kept going back.
And that one guy, I think he's some kind of songwriter for someone. But he was just brutally mean for no apparent reason.
He was mean for no reason. Like what he said to Carlton. Or no, what he said to Chong from Cheech and Chong.
Right.
He said, I know you're not going to be here today, or you're not going to be here next week. You're probably not going to win this. You're probably not going to win this. You know, shut up. You're just mean, just to be mean.
And Wayne Brady, was that Wayne Brady?
Oh, my God, he was so horrible. I forgot about him. The host was horrible, too. It was like everybody was, you know, if truth be told, everybody was really embarrassed to be part of it. But they had to act excited, you know, like they were there. It was awful.
I was going to call about the school watch, but when you said about that show last night, I said, oh.
It was awful.
It was terrible,
okay.
Ms. Brown.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Thank you for letting me know that because I thought it was just me.
No. Bye.
Bye-bye. 1-877-920-WGNU. Kevin.
How you doing, Ms. Brown?
I'm outstanding.
I have a question I want to ask you that I'm going to hang up and listen. Okay, now I know that the European, Arab, African slave trade. I want to know, and I'm going to shut up a little, I want to know who all... made a formal apology to our nation, okay?
Wait a minute. Who did what?
Who made a formal apology to us for the slave trade?
Who apologized to people of African descent for enslavement?
Yeah. Who all did it?
Who all made the apology?
Yeah, I'm talking about, have anyone made a formal apology yet?
No. I mean, what do you mean by a formal apology?
You know, if you do something that's wrong, you try to wrong your rights, usually it starts with an apology.
Right, but when you say formal apology, I was thinking of, was it in writing? Did they?
Yeah,
okay.
Either by a state of head, anything like this.
I'm unaware.
Okay, I rest my case. You have a nice day.
All right, 1-877-920-WGNU. I know that there are some businesses in America that have apologized for making money off enslavement. I know that our nation, our government has not apologized for enslavement. We had somewhat of a handful of senators apologized for not passing anti-lynching legislation back when people of African descent were being lynched
in incredible numbers. So everyone did not apologize for that. Plenty of people in the South said, no, you can't catch me on that. I'm not going to apologize for that. But insofar as a country, our country, apologizing for that, no, that has not happened. 1-877-920-WGNU. And please don't forget, on Saturday at the International Urban Institute, we will be showing, Irene J. Smith and myself will be showing When the Levees Broke. It's the year anniversary of Katrina. Spike Lee did a movie, a documentary, four parts. There are four separate parts. It's a four-hour documentary. Each one focuses on a different component of what happened when the levees broke. So we're going to be showing that at the Urban Institute. The address is 1020 North Taylor. The time is 7 a.m. to 11 a.m. Each hour we show a different part of the four-hour documentary. There will be food there. We will have a conversation. We will also be giving away more copies of Loose Change. So please come on out on Saturday, this coming Saturday, from 7 a.m. to 11 a.m. when we show Spike Lee's documentary. And it's free. Spike Lee's documentary, When the Levees Broke. We're going to take a break. My name is Liz Brown. This is The Wake Up Call. Get to me. Is hospice care? Well, a family can turn to hospice care when facing the terminal illness of a loved one. The Point of Change Hospice provides an environment in which families can cope with the transition of their loved one in the supportive, loving, and comfortable setting of their own home. Through pain management, emotional counseling, support, and compassionate health care, the Point of Change Hospice treats the patient as a whole person facing end-of-life issues. Founded in 2001, the Point of Change Hospice provides physical, emotional, practical, and spiritual care for adults and children in the last phases of terminal illness. Skilled hospice nursing, medical social services, occupational therapy, and physical therapy. The Point of Change Hospice accepts Medicare, Medicaid, and private health insurance. Your family pays for nothing. One of our counselors is waiting to talk to you. Give them a call at 535-4500. That's 535-4500. The Point of Change Hospice. Caring for families, caring for our community, and caring for you.
This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Tripoli. The trial of five Bulgarian nurses and a Palestinian doctor is continuing in Libya. They're accused of infecting over 400 children with the virus that causes AIDS. The prosecutor in the case yesterday told the court he is asking for the death penalty for all six because the episode is a human catastrophe. The first trial they had ended when they were convicted and sentenced to death by firing squad. But last December, the Supreme Court in Libya overturned those convictions and ordered a new trial, which started in May of this year. The defendants say they were tortured into making them confess, and they say the AIDS outbreak at the hospital where they worked started before they even got there. About 50 of the children who got infected have died, and that has caused a large public outcry. And Dateline Washington. Some members of the Bush administration are privately expressing concern over the deteriorating conditions in Afghanistan. Blame is being laid on President Hamid Karzai for not being able to stimulate economic renewal, effective governance, or provide security. His government has become full of corruption, and more power is being achieved by a renewed Taliban, as well as local warlords and illegal drug operators. Speculation has already begun as to who might be the logical choice to replace him. But Karzai is completely dependent, that is, on the United States and is basically following the lead of Washington.
Renewed violence in nearly every part of the country has Afghan officials estimating that there could be as many as 40,000 insurgent fighters inside Afghanistan. And they seem to keep pouring in from the mountain areas along the Afghan-Pakistan border, even though there have been large-scale operations in that region by the coalition forces. American promises of aid have not been fulfilled, and unemployment and poverty are rampant. Plus, an efficient infrastructure is still nowhere to be found. For instance, in the capital city of Kabul, electricity is only available about 5 hours a day. The opium trade is openly flourishing and is a huge source of revenue for the Taliban and other anti-U.S. militias. The drug trade is so pervasive that the corruption rises to President Karzai's own cabinet ministers. Some analysts conclude that President Bush's decision to turn from Afghanistan to Iraq before securing the country has doomed Afghanistan from any chance at becoming a successful democracy. This is your wake-up call Global News Update.
This is Shara Dalen. Join me for Women Inspiring Women every Wednesday afternoon on AM 920 WGNU. I'll be bringing my power tools, that is, power tools for women. Each week, I'll discuss who, what, when, where, and how to make it happen in your personal and professional life. So remember, join me, Shara Dalen, every Wednesday from 1 to 2 p.m. as part of Women Inspiring Women on AM 920 WGNU.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Another of those You Won't Want to Miss It programs coming up Wednesday on the Wake Up Call. Retired General Robert Gard is a senior fellow at the Center for Arms Control. He's no fan of the idea the Bush administration is throwing around about attacking Iran. He's also examined many of the ramifications of Iran's decision to continue with its nuclear program despite the threat of sanctions by the U.S. and U.N. Is more conflict imminent, or is there a way around this issue without bloodshed? Some cogent insights coming up Wednesday morning at 9 with Lieutenant General Robert Gard on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net, the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
There is a firm that is steady and strong. It does not know defeat. I feel it proud and know the sound of truth. In every soul, there is a memory, a standing tall. The proudest we could be. I cannot fall, for I recall we were born in.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Don't forget, I am archived at whiterosesociety.org. Email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. Get up. Get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. I think that our nation is really ill-served by so many things. But I think that there are also so many opportunities to get clarity out there about how things work. Even though we are ill-served, there are opportunities to get clarity. And then when a thing reveals itself to you, I think that it is our responsibility to accept it and believe that it is what it is, what it has revealed itself to be.
our country, our citizens are being pushed and prodded to take their eye off of the ball, to take their eye off of what is going on in their real world. And they're being, and the mechanism to do this is the media. Okay, basic, fundamental, got that. But you need to be clear-eyed about how deep this goes, how deep the rabbit hole does go. There is a reason why JonBenet Ramsey was on the front page of so many papers. It was there because Homeland Security assisted in it, bringing the information, pushing the prosecutor, and bringing the evidence. It was there to take America's attention off of the bad things that are happening, at the same time slipping gasoline prices downward. There is no decent prosecutor on the face of the earth that would have spent their kind, that kind of money to fly somebody over here. And or they wouldn't have done it in the public eye like this. They would have done it surreptitiously. They would have done it in a way that you wouldn't have known that this guy was flying over here. Who would have let this out? Who would have let this out without the proof? You don't. This is the most reckless act. This is a career-ending act. Who would risk this? Who would risk an action that would end your career if you weren't being pushed and prodded by something that you, something else out there? This guy did not do it. Anybody that watched CSI knew that he didn't do it. We all predicted that he did not do this. And yet and still you had this prosecutor, this district attorney, engaging in acts to bring this dude here. Anybody can confess to anything. That doesn't make them a suspect. That doesn't make them the person that did it. And it doesn't make them a suspect if that's all they did. You need the evidence to tie him to it. And they had the family members saying that he was there with them in Christmas during this time. And they had no physical evidence to tie him to this. Why would they have brought him to the United States with such a heightened media attention? And we have to ask ourselves, what purpose did it serve? What did it serve? It served getting all of the stories that are important off of the front page of the paper. All of the stories that are important. It's exactly right, Howard. He's a decoy. Look over there. He was a decoy. And shame on America for anybody that got their attention off the ball. Homeland Security provided information, provided evidence for that. Did y'all know while JonBenet's picture was plastered across your face? That U.S. District Court Judge Anna Diggs ruled that George W. Bush and the now CIA Director Michael Hayden had committed multiple high crimes, misdemeanors, and felonies. Judge Taylor said in her ACLU versus NSA decision that the president has acted undisputably as the FISA Act forbids. Come on now. Can we talk to a former prosecutor?
Good morning, Liz. How you doing?
Gerald Christmas, good morning.
I was listening to you, and I had to agree with you 100%. As a former prosecutor, this was nothing but a decoy. I couldn't believe they brought him halfway across the country, across the world.
With champagne and caviar.
With no evidence.
Come on.
I knew from the beginning when we first heard that he was alleged to have killed JonBenet Ramsey that he was not the one. Because if they actually had, they could have tested that DNA long before he got in this country. It was just a sham. It was all a sham to take our attention off everything else that's going on.
And to give the news media, get them back into their groove of sex, violence, and perversion.
And it's a shame that our media would be so easily succumb to these tactics. And the American people have to really wake up and realize what's going on. What's going on in this country? Because they would just present us with anything just to take our attention away from what's really happening in this world and the issues that we really need to be focusing on.
And I dare say that there's more ink that was more ink given to JonBenet in the days leading up to the year anniversary of Katrina in some papers than there was Katrina information.
Exactly. And that's what we really need to be focusing on is the whole Republican response to Katrina and the suffering that's still going on in New Orleans and more or less highlighting what you're going to be doing Saturday, the HBO documentary that Spike Lee did, the aftermath of Katrina.
Absolutely. And we need to be asking where our elected officials are. Do you know that Jim Talent hasn't been down there?
He has not. Jim Talent has not been down there. And with the Republicans all behind this voter ID deal and the taking away of voting rights, it's nothing but Jim Crow for Jim Talent.
There you
all
go.
It is Jim Crow for Jim Talent.
All right now. Thanks for your call, Gerald. Listen, folks, Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. I will be back. Stay with me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
Struggle against the common enemies of man.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. The National Hurricane Center is watching two tropical systems, one off the west coast, one off the east. Hurricane John is churning off the Pacific coast of Mexico. Category 3 storm winds up to 115 miles an hour. Meteorologist Dan Mundell says it could cause big problems for people who are vacationing south of the border.
Hurricane John is a very intense hurricane that's located just south of Acapulco.
But it's not expected to be a threat to the U.S. Ernesto, meanwhile, didn't end up being the threat to Florida. Forecasters thought it would. The tropical storm lost a lot of strength as it washed ashore last night, but it's not over yet.
All the way from southern Florida up through the Carolinas, Ernesto could be a big rainmaker. Many areas in Florida today are going to receive 3 to 6 inches of rain. Some isolated spots could get as much as 10.
That's the National Hurricane Center's Richard Knapp. Military hearings began today in California that will determine if 7 Marines and a sailor will be court-martialed in the death of an Iraqi man. Witnesses say he was dragged out of his house, tied up, and shot. The hearings will determine whether it was murder or if it was a justifiable act of war. Planning a Labor Day getaway? If you are, this should be music to your ears. Here's ABC News national correspondent Jim Hickey.
For once, the sound of good news. Relief for your wallet. Gasoline prices nationwide have been falling for 2 weeks and continue to head south. The AAA sees another 10-cent drop right after Labor Day. Why? Well, one is Labor Day, end of summer travel. Another, the price was too high for its own good, say some analysts. Oil traders are trying to settle things down some. And we are still pretty much turning our backs on big SUVs and other gas guzzlers. Jim Hickey, ABC News.
ABC News Money Scope. The Dow is down 9 points in early going, and the NASDAQ is off 2. This is ABC News.
Honey, I think I need a new look.
So, what, like a new haircut or something?
I meant the color of the living room.
I knew that.
It's the Labor Day sale at Sherwin-Williams. This Thursday through Monday, save 25% on our high-quality paints and stains, 15% on Duration Premium coatings, and an extra 25% on Waverly Wallpaper books, too. Hurry, sale ends Monday, September 4th.
Ask Sherwin Williams.
For locations, visit SherwinWilliams.com. Some exclusions apply.
Dad, this is my boyfriend, Scott.
So, where are you from, Scott?
Seattle.
Any brothers, sisters?
One brother.
How's your driving record?
Good.
Ever been arrested?
Huh?
Serve in the military?
Sir?
Do you have any diseases?
Dad!
What if everything in life came with a 115-point inspection? Well, before we certify any Ford Lincoln Mercury pre-owned vehicle, it must first pass a rigorous point-by-point exam. Plus, all Ford Lincoln Mercury certified pre-owned vehicles come with a 6-year, 75,000-mile warranty, including 24-hour roadside assistance.
Any sports injuries?
No.
See dealer for warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
ABC News marks the fifth anniversary of the September 11th attacks with a series called Remembering 9/11 today. Pam Coulter looks at how the government is trying to protect one of the targets, the Pentagon, from another attack.
Then on Donald Rumsfeld's security detail, Lieutenant Aubrey Davis saw the World Trade Center attack on TV.
At that point, the mind is already clicking. This is not an accident.
A loud rumble confirmed his fears the Pentagon was next. Ignoring their pleas, his boss headed straight for the impact site.
He's going towards what we call the danger zone.
The Pentagon spent tens of millions bolstering defenses, but Rosemary Dillard, whose husband was on the plane turned missile, still can't understand the 9/11 lapse in security.
Do I think we're safer today than we were on 9/11, no.
Pam Coulter, ABC News, Washington.
Amazon.com will take pre-orders for Windows Vista operating system next month. The business version will be available in November, the one for homes, after the first of the year. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
This report of WGNU News is brought to you by Deal Stores. I'm Peyton Colston. The number of uninsured Americans is up, but the number of Missourians without health care has not changed much, according to a report from the U.S. Census Bureau. That report on 2005 figures comes as a surprise to St. Louis University health economist Timothy McBride. McBride says it may be because the report is based on a survey taken in early 2006, and many of Missouri's Medicaid cuts did not go into effect until late last year or early this year. The Census Bureau report shows that about 700,000 Missourians were without health insurance last year. In other news, healthcare advocates are calling for a publicly supported health insurance safety net in Missouri. Robin Acri, the executive director of Grassroots Organizing, says there are state models that Missouri could follow. Members of GRO, G-R-O, gathered outside the governor's mansion yesterday to perform a skit called Pirates of the Healthcare IBN. Acri says health insurance companies are acting as pirates because they're making profits and not providing comprehensive care. And the St. Louis District of the Army Corps of Engineers is sending some emergency help up the Ohio River. The Corps' Louisville District put out the call for help after a towboat with 9 barges ran aground on the Ohio River near Mound City, Illinois. St. Louis District's dredge Potter is expected to arrive and start dredging the Ohio early this morning and stay for 3 or 4 days. And that's an update of WGNU News brought to you by Deal Stores. There's a new Deals in town with a brand new look. They still have great $1 deals plus big deals that are too good to pass up, so they're passing them on to you. Come in for their grand reopening celebration September 1st. I'm Peyton Colston with this hour's report of WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. In both directions, both Compton and Market Street bridges over 40 are scheduled to be reopened later following a ribbon-cutting ceremony around 10:30 this morning. Southbound 170 at Olive, there's a report of an accident. Eastbound 40 at McCausland, there's a vehicle on fire, and there's a number of road closures going on due to road construction for the St. Louis City, St. Louis County, St. Charles County, and the Metro East area. Use caution and slow down through those work zones. Downtown approaches may be a little stacked as the final commute gets underway for the 9 o'clock hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Play pick 3 from the Illinois Lottery. Watch for the green ball double draw. 1 green ball, 2 chances to win. Illinois Lottery, have a ball, play responsibly. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. Mostly cloudy, isolated showers till this afternoon with a high in the upper 70s for this evening. Mostly cloudy in the evening, partly cloudy overnight, becoming with a low in the lower 60s for Thursday and Friday. Partly sunny skies both days and a high around 80 both days. Currently, we have 64 degrees. Lambert Field is also reporting 64. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. To you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. Say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can
this end? But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get to me. Don't forget, we're broadcast live. We're streamed on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. Also, the Wake Up Call is archived every day at WhiteRoseSociety.org. So if you've missed an hour, go get your hour at WhiteRoseSociety.org. You need to get up. You need to get to me. There's an amazing story. An amazing story coming out today about the president of Iran. The president of Iran has looked George W. Bush in the face and said, you know what? Let's have a discussion. Let us have a discussion. Let's have a debate, if you will, on American television about my nuclear ambitions. Let's have this discussion so that the American people can hear your side of it and the American people can hear my side of it. It appears that what we have coming from this administration, it's really, given the troubling times that we are living in, it appears what we have coming from this administration is an attitude about diplomacy. It is almost as if this administration believes that it is the wimp thing to do, that you don't need any stinking diplomacy. It's my way or the highway. That's how we roll. And that's one thing to do that on the playground when all that is at issue is whether or not you get to go first in kickball. It is indeed a greater problem when the person has their finger on the nuclear button. We need to talk about diplomacy. We need to talk about this administration's plan for Iran. This administration's opinions about diplomacy. My way or the highway? Does that work? Well, to facilitate that conversation, I have retired Lieutenant General Robert Gard, senior military fellow at the Center for Arms Control and Nonproliferation, joining us from Washington, D.C. General, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Pleased to participate.
Well, I'm pleased to have you here. Do you get the sense, I mean, you're one of the best type of people to address this. Do you get the sense that the diplomacy practice of this administration is my way or the highway, and does that work?
Well, I agree with you, and no, it does not work.
Talk to us about, you are part of a group of military leaders and foreign policy officials that are calling on this administration to engage immediately in direct talks with Iran. Tell us why. Engaging in direct talks right now, and you want them to do that without preconditions. Talk to us about could you describe for the audience what the Bush administration's preconditions are and why that should not be the way to go? And we're going to have that conversation when we get back. You can answer that question when we get back. I'm talking to retired General Robert Gard, senior military fellow at the Center for Arms Control and Nonproliferation. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. We're going to be talking about this administration's diplomacy policies when we come back. What is hospice care? Well, families turn to hospice care when facing the terminal illness of a loved one. The Point of Change Hospice provides an environment in which families can cope with the transition of their loved one in the supportive, loving, and comfortable setting of their own home. The Point of Change was founded in 2001. It provides the physical, emotional, practical, and spiritual care for adults and children in the last phases of a terminal illness. They provide skilled hospice nursing, medical social services, occupational therapy, physical therapy, chaplain and counseling services, bereavement follow-up, and trained hospice volunteers. They also provide physician-ordered services, and they accept Medicare, Medicaid, and private health insurance. You don't have to pay for anything. The Point of Change Hospice, one of their counselors is waiting to talk to you. Give them a call at 535-4500. That's 535-4500. The Point of Change Hospice, caring for families, caring for our community, and caring for you.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at Connect Care want you to know that sometimes change can be good. Connect Care. Still connected to the community. Connect Care is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of Connect Care's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At Connect Care, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic.
At Connect Care, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
Hi, this is Connie Mitchell, co-host of Women Inspiring Women's Authors on the Air. Each Friday, my co-host Liz Tanz and I explore the world of writing and interview local and not-so-local authors. We discuss relevant, timely, and occasionally controversial subjects. So come hear just what it takes to write a book and learn something new along with us. Who knows? You might find a new favorite author. That's Authors on the Air, Fridays from 1 to 2 on AM 920 WGNU.
The Struggle for Fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. I am talking to retired General Robert Gard, Senior Military Fellow at the Center for Arms Control and Nonproliferation in Washington, D.C. General, welcome back. The question that I had on the table was the Bush administration to immediately engage in direct talks with Iran without preconditions. Talk to us about what the Bush administration is asking for and why you're asking for the talks without the preconditions.
Well, what the Bush administration's position is that we will engage in negotiations along with our allies, European allies, who have been talking with Iran, provided Iran does ahead of time what we want the outcome of the negotiations to be.
That's ridiculous, isn't it?
Well, it seems that way to me. This makes it an ultimatum, not an offer to negotiate. We're saying to Iran, if you suspend the enrichment of uranium, we'll talk with you. And what we want them to do is to suspend the enrichment of uranium. So we're making a pretext for our discussions what the desired outcome of the negotiations is. I see no reason why we need to do that. The concern is that this administration has publicly declared through Vice President Cheney on the 7th of March of this year that we will not allow Iran to have a nuclear weapon. Now then, if we don't negotiate with them to get them to cease whatever activities they may be doing that might eventually lead toward a nuclear weapon, estimated to be 5 years or so away, and we won't talk to them, the concern is that we may be preparing for a military attack that would have disastrous consequences.
And when you say that it would have disastrous consequences, where would those consequences weigh the most? Would it be mostly for the United States, mostly for the world?
Well, there was a war game conducted in the Pentagon, believe it or not, asking what the results are likely to be if the United States makes a preemptive military strike against Iran. The conclusion was there would be direct attacks on U.S. troops and supply lines in Iraq. They have, in effect, 138,000 U.S. hostages in Iraq, and it's a very simple matter for them to scale up the terrorism against our own troops. Secondly, there is likely to be Iran-sponsored terrorist attacks elsewhere, not just in Iraq. Third, it is likely there would be a disruption in world oil markets. The conclusion of the Pentagon's own war game was, there is no alternative to diplomacy.
Huh? There's no alternative to diplomacy.
That's the Pentagon's people who played the war game, saw what the likely outcome would be, and concluded that we better make use of diplomacy rather than military action.
But it seems, General, that this administration never sees diplomacy as an option.
They go through the motions.
Have we seen any act any diplomatic act that has resulted in the desired effect by this administration?
None comes to mind immediately to me. And, of course, the whole point of diplomacy is that you talk with people with whom you have disagreements and you attempt to achieve an outcome that benefits both sides. Now, Ronald Reagan, the very paragon held up by this administration, negotiated with what he called the evil empire, the Soviet Union. And the result was the START-1 treaty to the mutual benefit of both sides. If Ronald Reagan could talk to the evil empire, why can't the current administration talk to one of the members of what it has called the Axis of Evil?
As a general, as a retired general, is it possible for the United States to be shaking its sword at Iraq, Iran, and North Korea? Can we sustain, and not to mention what has already happened in Lebanon, can we sustain fights with all three of those countries at the same time? Can we do that?
Well, it depends on how you conduct a military engagement, say, with Iran. The worry is that we would do it strictly with air power. Now, yes, we have the physical capability to make a preemptive strike against Iran from the air, with the disastrous consequences that the Pentagon itself has already recognized. So we're physically capable of doing that. Now, let me give you an added worry. In 2002, there was a exercise called the Nuclear Posture Review. Iran was listed as a potential target for a preemptive nuclear strike. As recently as April of this year, President Bush was asked directly whether the administration was considering a preemptive nuclear strike against Iran. His response, all options are on the table, except apparently direct negotiations.
Mm. Let me ask you this, General. How much of a threat to the United States is Iran?
Well, it's a threat in that it can stir up mischief in its neighborhood. There are indications that the Revolutionary Guard Corps actually has agents in the south of Iraq, that Iran has assisted certain of the insurgents in Iraq with explosive devices and advice. So they have the capability to threaten us locally. They have no capability to threaten the United States, the continental United States, at the present time, and aren't likely to for many years. So calling the Iranian threat against the continental United States a crisis is a misnomer. We have time to work this out.
And in terms of what we're doing with Iran right now, is what we're doing with Iran right now, is that sufficient to deal with Iran? Is there something that we should be doing with Iran that we're not?
The thing that we should be doing with Iran that we're not is talking with them. What we are doing for example, is spending $85 million this fiscal year under the Iran Freedom Support Act. We're giving assistance to the opponents of the regime.
$85 million.
$85 million to work against the Iranian regime. Now, if I were in Iran and the president said I was one of the three members of the Axis of Evil, the United States invades Iraq, and before everything went south there, an administrative spokesman said Iran should pay attention. In other words, we just knocked off the government of one of the three members of the Axis of Evil, and said the administration spokesman, Iran should take a number. Now, if I were in Iran, was called a member of the Axis of Evil, was a candidate for a preemptive nuclear strike, if the president said all options were on the table, if Cheney said that he's not going to allow Iran to have a nuclear weapon, I might feel a threat from the United States, and my reaction would be to work very hard to get a nuclear weapon so that I could deter the United States from attacking me.
Those are not unreasonable or illogical acts.
Now, in May of 2003...
Hold up. Could you hold that thought, General, and share that with us when we come back? I'm talking to retired Lieutenant General Robert Gard, Senior Military Fellow at the Center for Arms and Arms Control and Nonproliferation, joining us from Washington, D.C. My name is Liz Brown. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy.
Of the Travel Planner Show.
Before you head out for a trip, you want to know how to pack, so check weather at yahoo.com, and then you'll know what to wear when you get there.
Oh, she's so good. The Travel Planner Show, every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4, here on AM 920 WGNU.
For the issues that matter most to you, of course, it's AM 920 WGNU. This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Dial 1-800 Dr. Laura.
This is Mark Hinderleiter, host of Lessons in Leadership. Whether you're an executive, manager, teacher, volunteer leader, or head of a family, this show is for you. You'll get practical tips from real leaders on topics that matter to you. Tune in every Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock to Lessons in Leadership.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
Where else indeed? A washer, a dryer, a refrigerator, a stove, everything that you need to make your house a home, everything that you need to make your garden a palace. You know what? Get on down to Sears. They have fabulous deals. They have fabulous customer service. And you know what? It's right here in your own neighborhood. The only Sears in the entire city of St. Louis at Union and Natural Bridge. When you get to Sears, my name is Liz Brown. Tell them I told you to.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Well, I think I'm going out of my head. Yes, I think I'm going out of my head. For you.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. I am talking this hour to retired Lieutenant General Robert Gard. He is a senior military fellow at the Center for Arms Control and Nonproliferation, joining us from Washington, D.C. General, welcome back. You started to talk about an incident in May.
Well, then Secretary of State Colin Powell, in March of 2003, that's the time we invaded Iraq, asked the Iranians to stop supporting terrorists. In May of that year, through the Swiss ambassador in Tehran, an overture was delivered to the United States government. Iran offered to subject itself to the most intrusive inspections from the International Atomic Energy Agency so that it could assure itself that Iran was not making nuclear weapons. It said it would stop support to Hezbollah, Hamas, and Islamic Jihad. It said it would be willing to convert Hezbollah to a social and a political organization, and it would accept the Arab League's Beirut Declaration of 1992, offering to settle the Palestinian question through land for peace. Now, all of those outcomes are precisely what the U.S. was seeking from Iran. In return, Iran asked assistance in being integrated into the world economy and an end of U.S. hostility and sanctions. Now, that sounds to me like a pretty good deal for the United States.
That's an extraordinary deal.
Do you know what the administration's reaction was? To express displeasure to the Swiss ambassador for forwarding that overture to the government. In other words, we turned them down flat and wouldn't talk to them.
And then also misrepresented what the contents of the overture were. I mean, that misrepresents to the American people what was offered.
Oh, yes. This was not published widely. The American people didn't even know it existed. This came out later because someone who had access to the document released it.
So in terms of where we are today, General, Iran is saying, you know what, we're going ahead with this. You know what, we have the right to do this. Where does that leave us in terms of this administration? What do you see the outcome of this being?
Well, what Iran has right now, as best we know, is 164 centrifuges which can be used to enrich uranium. And if they have no more centrifuges than that, it will take them 13 years to produce enough highly enriched uranium to make a bomb. Now, undoubtedly, they are producing more centrifuges. But it's going to take them years to get there. We have time to negotiate with them, and we should engage in those negotiations to try to get a mutually beneficial outcome instead of signaling to Iran, as the administration had, that what we're really interested in is regime change, just as we got regime change in Iraq. And we are taking action through the Iran Freedom Support Act to assist the opponents of the Iranian regime. That's an overt threat against Iran, along with all of the other threats by calling them the axis of evil, making them a candidate for preemptive strike, the vice president saying we won't allow them to have a nuclear weapon, and of course we're saying that if they continue to enrich uranium, which is quite legal, as you just suggested, under the Non-Proliferation Treaty, it's quite legal for them to do that. What we should be seeking is to allow them to have just a very small research project with highly intrusive inspections from the International Atomic Energy Agency to ensure that they're not producing enough material to make a bomb. We could get a deal like that if we would be willing to negotiate with them.
Well, who benefits if we invade, if we do a preemptive strike on Iran? Who benefits?
Well, I don't think anyone does, because...
But surely there must be a reason. Clearly, this administration is bent on getting to that place. So who are the possible beneficiaries?
Well, there has always been a tendency on the part of people who employ air power to believe that you will get a better outcome from it than is usually the case. I mean, look at the recent Israeli bombing in Lebanon. They were trying to do it just as we bombed in Kosovo some years ago. You can't destroy all of the infrastructure that's built under the ground. And the Iranians, as we all know, are putting a number of their facilities well under the ground. You're not going to be able to take them out.
Not with air power.
Not with air power.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you might be able to damage some facilities that might set them back. So instead of being able to produce a bomb in 5 years, it'll take them 5.5 years.
Mm.
But you're not going to stop it. The
because that's supposedly what
Iraq was bombed by the Israelis. And after the first Gulf War in 1991, we found out that they had accelerated their program to build a nuclear weapon and were pretty far along, much farther along than we thought. And the bombing of the reactor didn't stop the program, nor will the bombing of Iran stop its enrichment of uranium. And if we bomb in Iraq, one outcome you can absolutely count on is that the Iranians are going to accelerate their efforts to get a nuclear weapon to deter us from attacking them in the future.
Well, what do they have to lose? They are already being bombed. Why wouldn't they?
Not the Iranians. They aren't being bombed yet.
No, I mean, if we were to bomb the uranium, if we were to engage in the preemptive strike on Iran, they would. I mean, what would be the incentive for them not to do it?
Well, there wouldn't be any incentive.
There you go.
Not to do it. The incentive would be for them to accelerate their program as quickly as they possibly can.
Let me get to a couple of callers here. Bob, you have a question for General Guard.
Yeah, first of all, weren't the IAEA inspectors removed from Iran this week and barred from inspecting the facilities this last week?
Yes, the Iranians did not permit them into a facility. They
okay.
In effect, have gone back and forth on the extent to which they will let IAEA into these various facilities.
And hasn't the administration taken this, you talk about a lack of diplomacy, isn't it in the UN Security Council 5+1 right now? And aren't they going to act on the 31st? Haven't they given the Iranians a deadline? And I want to remind people, this is the Islamic Republic of Iran. It's not the Democratic Republic of Iran. So what they say may not be able to be as trusted as if it were a democracy.
Thanks for your call, General.
Well, I didn't say we should trust Iran to do anything. I'm saying we should negotiate with them, accept the offer that they made 3 years ago for the most intrusive IAEA inspections. We're not giving them any incentive to behave themselves. I don't say trust them. As Ronald Reagan said, trust but verify. You want to be sure that you can check up on whatever agreements they make.
And it is not a negotiating tool when you tell people that the first point of negotiation is for you to concede.
Yeah, I mean, it's bizarre when you say, take the action now that we wanted you to take through negotiations before we agree to talk with you.
Let me get
now, I don't believe, first of all, that we're going to be able to get in the Security Council any sort of stringent sanctions against Iran because Russia and China have too many economic interests that relate to oil. So we say, Well, we will go out and get a group of the willing, and we won't let them travel, and we'll freeze their bank accounts. All you're going to do is stiffen the resistance within Iran. They're simply not going to respond in a way that will give us the outcome that we want.
Is there a reason for Iran to trust what the this administration is saying in terms of what they will do and what they won't do?
Well, what I'm worried about is that Iran will take the administration seriously.
That they are the axis of evil, and that there will be
the axis of evil. We're not going to let them have a nuclear weapon, and
we will preemptively strike.
And that they are a candidate for a preemptive, even a preemptive nuclear strike.
Let me get to another caller or two here. You're on the air with General Robert Gard.
Yes, I'd like to know, why is there never any mention of Israel's nuclear program, Israel's nuclear bomb? They haven't signed anything with the nuclear regulatory agency. They just do what they want to do. The hypocrisy is it's just astounding to me how they can have everything in Israel and nobody else is allowed. I don't blame the Iranians.
Thanks.
If I was the Iranian president, I'd be looking for a nuke right now. I believe they already have them from Russia, and they're just waiting on baby George to do something stupid. I think what we're doing in Iraq is terrorism. Mass murder straight out, because we went in there based on a lie and we killed probably 1 million Iraqi civilians. So I'm looking at terrorists right here in Washington, D.C.
Thanks.
Have a great day.
Thanks for your call. The Israel issue.
It's very sensitive, of course. The third rail of American politics is not Social Security. It certainly would be failure to support the country of Israel. Now, it's not politically correct to criticize the government of Israel. One subjects himself, as I have been subjected, to being called anti-Semitic if one expresses disagreement with the policies of the Israeli government. The caller is absolutely correct. There is no question whatsoever that the Israelis have nuclear weapons. They are in the same category as Pakistan and India in that they are not members of the Non-Proliferation Treaty.
So they shouldn't have them.
Iran, ironically, is a member of the nuclear non-proliferation. There are only three countries outside of it. Pakistan, India, and Israel.
And we're going to take a break. We're talking to retired Lieutenant General Robert Gard. He's a senior military fellow at the Center for Arms Control and Nonproliferation. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with us. What is hospice care? Well, families turn to a hospice when facing the terminal illness of a loved one. The Point of Change Hospice provides an environment in which families can cope with the transition of their loved one in the supportive, loving, and comfortable setting of their own home. Through pain management, emotional counseling, and support and compassionate health care, the Point of Change Hospice treats the patient as a whole person facing end-of-life issues. Founded in 2001, the Point of Change Hospice provides the physical, emotional, practical, and spiritual care for adults and children in the last phases of terminal illness. Skilled hospice nursing, medical social services, occupational therapy, physical therapy, bereavement follow-up, medical equipment, medical supplies, and the Point of Change accepts Medicare, Medicaid, and private health insurance. One of their counselors is waiting to talk to you and to hold your hand through this process. So give them a call at 535-4500, 535-4500, the Point of Change Hospice, caring for families, caring for our community, and caring for you.
Up next, Sword It Out with Lori and Claire, helping you find the courage to make a change in your life on AM 920 WGNU.
This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Baghdad. The notorious Abu Ghraib prison outside of Baghdad has been shut down. Officials say the last remaining 15 prisoners were transferred to a new facility called Camp Cropper, which is located near the Baghdad airport. Thousands of people were held there and tortured for political crimes under the Saddam Hussein regime. The prison again was in the news when American guards were found to be abusing prisoners with a variety of unorthodox measures, including sexual humiliation. The Iraqi government has not decided what will become of the 280-acre complex, but it could become a museum. And Dateline Beirut. The first replies for providing troops for a peacekeeping force in Lebanon have come from three mostly Muslim nations. The countries of Nepal, Malaysia, and Indonesia have offered up a battalion each. In addition, Bangladesh has also offered to provide two battalions for the region. The UN is welcoming the offer, saying it wants the force to have a multinational and multilateral flavor so that both sides will have confidence in its ability to do what it's supposed to do. But the UN is disappointed over a lack of commitment from Western nations for any firm troop numbers. France has only agreed to provide 400 men. Italy says it will send troops but gave no exact number. The UN resolution to end the fighting promised 15,000 troops on the ground by the end of August, but only has hard numbers of about 5,000 to date. Germany has provided surveillance ships, but no men. Greece and France have offered other sea vessels, but no men. Meanwhile, Israel seems unsure as to how they feel about having Muslim peacekeepers involved in this operation. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 till 4 on AM 920 WGNU. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal work or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Come away with me in the night. Come away with me and I will write you song. Come away with me on a bus.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. Don't forget that on Saturday, this Saturday, from 7 a.m. to 11 a.m., we will be showing at the International Urban Institute Spike Lee's documentary on Katrina, When the Levees Broke. 4 hours, four different shows on what happened a year ago yesterday. So you don't want to miss that. Come on out, 7 a.m. The address is 1020 North Taylor. That's the International Urban Institute. Irene J. Smith and myself, we will be showing free of charge Spike Lee's documentary on When the Levees Broke. We'll have a little bit of food there for you. We'll give away some copies of Loose Change, and we'll have some other things there for you as well. So join us. That's this Saturday from 7 a.m. to 11 a.m. My guest this hour is retired Lieutenant General Robert Gard. He is a senior military fellow at the Center for Arms Control and Nonproliferation, joining us from Washington, D.C. General, welcome back. Let me get to a couple more of our callers here, please. Marty, you have a question for General Gard.
Yes, good morning, Liz and General. This whole thing is nothing but a massive business deal. If you look at it, as soon as Bush got in office, the economy changed. Young people were basically told that, you know, the best place to go is in the service. And, you know, we already got most military operations. They have acceptable losses already set up. They could have bombed Iraq as much as they wanted to. But like you said, they wouldn't be able to contain everything until they get ground forces in there. And the same thing is happening now. You know, they're just looking, giving this thing a name, and making up an excuse, like the last caller said, on a lie, and I would say all the way from the tower situation.
All right. Mark, do you have a quick question for our guest?
Yes, and I was wondering, since we've been doing this whole thing, do you think it's more like a business deal? Because the vice president has been, you know, dealing with Halliburton, and since we've been bombing everything, the next thing to know is to go in and rebuild everything, and we've been cutting programs here and taking money away from here, which is needed, even down there in Katrina, for rebuilding these countries that we get in and just making these countries submit instead of going in there to negotiate.
All right. Thank you, Marty.
Well,
General.
Yes.
In terms of the politicalness of it, do you have a view on the politicalness of why we have gone to war with Iraq?
Well, that was number one in the three members of the Axis of Evil. There are people, particularly in the first Bush administration, who for many years prior to their assuming office have wanted a regime change in Iraq, a U.S. presence, with the assumption that we could somehow establish a democracy in Iraq that would be contagious in the region. Well, clearly, they were looking for a pretext for regime change, and they found it in 9/11, and we, of course, claimed that there was a connection between Saddam Hussein and the perpetrators of 9/11, that's since been repudiated even by the president himself.
Well, he's recently said that he never said that.
Well, I can't come up with a precise quote where the president himself said that, but I can come up with a lot of them when the vice president said that.
Condoleezza Rice.
And it clearly was a claim that the administration was making. Now, Paul Wolfowitz, the Deputy Secretary of Defense, said that the pretext that we used to go in was because Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. But he said, we used that one because it was the one everybody could agree on. It was clear they had other objectives. And we knew it would be a piece of cake to seize Baghdad and overthrow the regime. Of course, the great failing, inexcusable failing, was to prepare for the post-conflict situation, and we now find ourselves bogged down in an irretrievable situation that, as the caller suggested, is costing us hundreds of billions of dollars, not to mention the lives of soldiers who are almost seen as expendable commodities by those in the administration who felt that we could effect a regime change through an invasion and get outcomes to the benefit of the long-range security interests of the United States. What we have done is alienated not only much of the Muslim world, but even our own allies, and we find ourselves in a situation from which there is no simple extraction or solution.
You and 21 other military leaders and diplomats released a statement on the 17th of August of this year saying that you wanted the administration to engage immediately in direct talks with Iran without preconditions. And one of the positions that you take is that if a strategy of diplomatic engagement with Iran will serve the interests of the United States and its allies and would enhance regional and international security. Talk to us about how the regional and international security is enhanced with this discussion.
Well, go back to the overture of May 2003. If, in fact, we could get the outcomes that the Iranians said they were prepared to discuss, namely that they would stop supporting Hezbollah, Hamas, and Islamic Jihad. Those, of course, are organizations that we have called terrorist organizations, and who, in fact, are engaged in a type of guerrilla war. So if they stopped supporting those organizations, they wouldn't have the capability to do that, and that would tend to quiet things down in the area. Most important, if they would accept the Arab League's Beirut Declaration of 1992, which they said they would, namely that they would accept a two-state solution between Israel and Palestine, that would take away the principal problem in the Middle East. The administration claimed that the route to Jerusalem was through Baghdad. It's actually the reverse. The route to Baghdad and into other capitals in the Middle East is to get a solution to the Arab-Israeli problem. And the Iranians were willing to accept the two-state solution according to their May 2003 overture. Surely that would assist in calming things down in the mercurial area of the Middle East.
General, I want to thank you very much. Retired Lieutenant General Robert Gard, Senior Military Fellow at the Center for Arms Control and Nonproliferation. Thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Pleased to participate.
Take care. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. I'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Until then, stay strong.
All over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull